Tonight, the owner of the Iron Throne at the AV Club and pretty late pal John Tatey ride sidecar for the first hour. Then later, the slightly less regal Mark Carman gives us a Chicago sports update. And finally, we discuss how bad language correlates to your intelligence. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. Oh yeah, I f***ing nailed that intro.
Craig, language. You're listening Pretty Late. I am your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. When we talk about that later, I am kind of excited, or we can talk about it now, but I am kind of excited how everyone was tickled by that piece I found on how cussing,
that was so good. Yeah.
Cussing is not necessarily an indication of lesser intelligence.
Can you, I believe that because I curse a blue streak at work without realizing it in our editorial meetings. And one day recently, my mom was in town on account of the new baby. Uh-huh. And I brought her into the office one day and just brought her to a couple meetings. And I kept having to catch myself because I was dropping these F-bombs and other four-letter words, which is just part of... I'm an emotional guy. I'm a passionate guy. It just comes out. But to have my mom there, I was constantly having to censor myself. I was so mortified. And I realized how much I do swear.
Do you think it's you're impacted by the volume of... Because you really digest... You're sort of into pop culture so much and the types of shows that you watch.
Yeah.
Do you think that influences you? Or is that have you always been kind of... You know, has your family been... Because if you were embarrassed in front of your mom, does she not know that you swear?
No, she knows. But you... I mean, at work... you know, in my nice tie and looking all proper, and then to act like, you know, to curse like a sailor in front of her is a little embarrassing. But no, I don't think, I think yes, to answer your question, yes, I've been influenced by just consuming so much pop culture over the years and just finding, especially comedy, and just always finding profanity somewhat amusing,
I guess. And cathartic, I think.
Yes.
You know? And not having to filter yourself. Esmeralda, do you find that... Because we're on the air so much, we don't swear around each other, although I've been told that even when I don't cuss, I sound like I have a mouth of a sailor. I've been told that
use
before.
Use a lot of sailor terms.
Is that
why?
Matey.
Ahoy there.
Yeah. But do you find that you censor yourself in front of certain... I don't know you to swear since we're here all the time. Really.
I don't. I swear every once in a while. I don't swear in front of my parents, although I remember my dad would swear all the time.
Really?
And I just never picked it up to think like, yeah, no, I should do that too.
Right. Right. And my dad would always say, don't ever let me see you swear. So I would cover my mouth. I didn't say anything.
Well, I don't know if you remember this, but one night on the air, I let slip with one that you caught. You hit the button in time, I gather. But I don't think I've ever been so angry at myself as I won.
It was a name that was not easy to pronounce. And it was...
That's right. It was a live
profile,
read, right?
I was frustrated. Name. Yes. And that's okay. And it was also religiously related. And so you were on top of everything else. You were like, I've just mangled this name.
So you really remember this better than I do. And now I'm not really stuck in your mind.
I'm not entirely sure how to say that name either anymore. So
the name that I messed up?
It was our Cardinal of Chicago. It was his name that you...
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I still don't know. I don't remember his name at all.
I remember weird things. They get sort of lodged in my brain. And I go, yeah. Oh, yeah, here you go. That's what happened that night. You were mentioning when you came in that you had a positive customer relations experience.
Oh, I had the best customer. Our friends, I know you like the folks at Apt Electronics.
Yes. Who did you go see?
I didn't go see anyone, although I have gone to see people there, and they're always nice and very helpful. I had a guy there.
Steve's our guy, by the way. Steve Shapiro.
Steve, okay. Well, I had a little mix-up with a refrigerator that I bought, and a piece of it broke, and I didn't think it was my fault, and the customer service people that I was talking, sort of the frontline people, thought that it was, basically.
Okay.
This is a long story short, but I assure you it was not my fault. And so after trying to go through the regular customer service folks and getting kind of a wishy-washy response, I sent a polite, detailed email to Mike Apt.
Oh.
I found his email address. The guy.
Uh-huh.
And I hesitated. I was like, do I really want to bother him with this? And I was like, look, I'm out a couple $100 for this repair that I thought was unnecessary. And not only did he didn't email me back, he within half an hour called me.
What?
I was driving home. Mike apped. I pick up the phone, or I hit the button in my car to turn, and suddenly just the speakers in my car are alive with a Chicago Scion. I mean, the apt name
How
to me is a pretty big deal.
Crazy is that?
He was super nice. He said, and I did not like say I was a member of the media or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to pull anything like that. I was just a regular customer as far as he was concerned. And he said, that's a great refrigerator. I saw a picture of it, and he was super nice. And he said, you shouldn't have had to pay for that. And he sorted it all out right there on the phone.
Holy cats.
Can you believe that?
I do, because Apt Electronics is amazing. And this isn't even a commercial, and I sound like I'm wrapping
it
up that
and
way.
I have no investment in the, I have no relation to the company aside from everybody having told me since I got here, mm-hmm. this is where you go to get your appliances and electronics.
It is. It's the mecca.
And they proved it today. I mean, I was a pretty loyal customer despite this little snafu, but now I'm really impressed.
Yeah, no, they're excellent. And when it comes to insulation or having things delivered, helping you pick things out, I don't know what it is. I think because, you talked to Mike Apt. They've been there for a long time, and maybe that's it. The people who are on the front lines, they get the volume, right? They mm-hmm. get so call mm-hmm. after call after call. Who is?
And they were nice.
How do they cut through the noise, I guess, right? If they approve every single one. And if you really believe that it is not something that is at your fault and you plead your case, I think that you followed through on that.
Yeah. I do want to hasten to add that the frontline customer service people were not rude to me.
Right.
They just, there was a communication disconnect here.
Right. Yeah. Well done, you and Mike Apt.
Yeah. Wow.
It's very cool.
How often do you get, it's like, it would be like I was ordering a pizza and Mr. Malnati himself picked up the phone.
I bet you he would.
Yeah.
I bet you Rudy would do that for you. I think that we should try that sometime. And not to complain, just go, we love your pizza, and see if we get him on the line.
I do enjoy his pizza.
Well, do you ever do that? Do you ever contact the head of a company and say, I just want to tell you how remarkable service?
Yes, sure.
I think that...
I try to spread a little happiness in this life, yeah.
Do you ever do that at a restaurant? Because it confuses the staff when you say,
can I... ask for the manager.
Yeah,
right.
Because they immediately assume that there's a problem.
Yeah.
And they're like, what do you need to see them about? No, I just want to talk to them for a moment. No, what do you need? I would like to tell them how great the service is here. Well, no, what do you want? No, I said.
One day I needed a flight to New York, and mm-hmm. I was for an important work meeting, and I had booked it myself, and I had booked it for the following Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And I showed up on that Tuesday, and my boarding pass, they were like, you're not ready to check in. And I realized something was amiss, and I said, look, I got the wrong ticket. I got it for a week from now, but I need to be on this flight that's leaving in an hour. And the United ticket agent, I don't know how, but she got me a seat on this flight. And that was one of the happiest emails to write to her. Mm-hmm. I said, please give me the phone number or the email to call
directly
or whatever, mm-hmm. so I can tell them what a thing you did for me today. Because that never happens with the airlines,
No.
And she said, all we get is complaints. She said, all we get to this line is complaints. I said, well, today you're going to get one nice thing.
I think that everyone should take a moment at some point in the next month. I think can we do a pretty late assignment? Can we do
pretty late homework?
Pretty late homework.
For the listeners.
Homework for the listeners. And you know what? I think we can give away a prize on this. If you can CC us on a positive email that you send to a company, I think that we will give you a $25 gift card. We'll pick one. Not for all of them.
Not everybody. Yeah.
But who should we should have them send that to you?
Yeah, I don't mind.
You don't mind?
C. Collins at WGNRadio.com. I mean, those are really fun things to be CC'd on if somebody's saying something nice to a company.
A letter of compliment of some good service that you've received in any sort of retail or hospital visit or, your doctor, your nurse. What do we call that segment? That's a new segment. I don't know what we call that. It's not pay it forward because it's be nice, be kind.
Be nice, be kind. I think that's your segment right
that's
there.
That's my segment.
BNBK.
And BNBK until we can think of something better. So please, if you have an opportunity, and we all have a moment where something good happens, where someone has been nice, someone has gone
hopefully.
The extra mile.
Yeah, hopefully. That's exactly it. It's a pretty late moment of kindness.
The moment of kindness.
So I like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. good.
M-O-K. I don't know. I feel like mock. That's not a good
P-L-M-O-K. Something. Pull a mock.
So you can send that to ccollins@wgnradio.com, and we will pick one randomly to every month. We're going to do this every month. I got to figure out what day of the month we're going to pick our winner. But that's because of you, John Tatey.
Hey, I made
this
it
is,
happen.
You've inspired a segment on our show.
Now I am paying it. Now I feel like I am paying it forward a little bit.
And to encourage people from either United Airlines, from Apple Electronics, there is good service out there, but the only time we ever step up and say we've had a bad moment is when we're angry about something.
People love to complain, and I'm just as guilty of that as the next guy.
Oh, shut up. I can't talk to you anymore. I have to go. More after this. You talk too much, John Tatey. I believe the Cubs are up again, by the way. They are playing the Angels, and last I saw, they were up 4-0. They're doing what, Craig? They're announcing
their presence?
With authority.
They're also going to go undefeated, I think.
No, I don't think
so. The Cubs are playing the Angels?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Interleague?
They play interleague all season now, John. It's not just during specific times of the year.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That changed a couple years ago when the Astros shifted and stuff.
That's true. Huh. We do two Crosstown Classics a year.
I just find it strange to do it on opening week.
I know. Well, it's happening throughout the whole season. At least one interleague game is happening pretty much all year.
Mm-hmm.
I've been against the interleague thing from the beginning. So, yeah.
And it is 6-1, Cubs over the Angels.
So you also hate the DH?
No, I don't. I like that the leagues have different rules, but I was never a fan of interleague play in the season because that's always what made the World Series so special and so electric.
Mm-hmm.
Distinction. These teams would never meet except in the World Series. It made it a nice climax to the season.
That's a good point.
You
and your insightfulness. It's annoying.
Maybe I should keep up with the times, though.
I'm trying to be negative again because we were talking about how much people would rather be negative.
Yeah, let's be sour
again. It's true. We are going to talk about this again, I believe, in the next few days. But Holly Simon, who's a regular on the show, I did something. Craig, we didn't talk about this last night, but let's go ahead and discuss this just briefly. I was trying to go to sleep yesterday morning at like 7. And I shouldn't. I go to bed like 6 or 7 in the morning, depending on when my boys are awake, especially Declan. My son, who has special needs, often will wake up at like 3:30 and doesn't want to go back to sleep. Sensory wise, he wants to just be awake. And so I stay up. The rule for me is that if anything before 5 is mine, and I'll let Steve sleep.
Okay.
If I've just gone to bed and it's after 5 and I've already tried to fall asleep,
Steve will, his job.
Yeah. And it's not like the hard and fast rules. But after 5 o'clock, I'm like, once I've made it past 5, I'm like, well, I'll let Steve go until his alarm goes off and he takes care of the boys for breakfast and stuff. But I make the mistake. Do you scroll through your Facebook feed before you go to sleep ever? It's so stupid.
I do my Twitter and my Instagram, sure.
One of your feeds, right?
Yeah.
Social media. I got to stop doing it. This was my lesson yesterday. So I was really tired and I was just scrolling through and, you know, I just kind of like people's stuff, see what people are up to, what stories are breaking in the morning. I get a lot of the WGN morning news. And then I saw this story, this comic was telling about an encounter she had, a disparaging encounter with someone that she didn't like. Apparently the guy was, I don't even know, but it starts with, I saw this retard in the parking lot.
This is a comic that you know?
I don't know her personally.
Okay.
And here's my thing. I actually had posted, I've posted before, if you're going to use that word in any form, whether it's that or, any variation of it, I'm just going to go ahead and remove you from my feed. And I made that
I think that's a very restrained response.
Yeah. There was someone who got really mad just at that statement. Like, I hadn't gone after anything he had
at
said.
You saying this
going
rule
to,
that you have.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and remove that, right? And everybody
and
can do that.
Someone.
Yeah, he got really angry. I have a cousin who has special needs, and I use that word, and I'm like, that's fine. I'm not telling you not to use it.
Right.
I'm telling you I don't want to see it. It hits me very hard. I do find it offensive. I do find it offensive, and I know people are like, well, that's just a word, and how can it bother you? Well, go ahead and use the N-word.
But that's always my point. Is it's just a word, and the English language is such a wonderful bounty of words. If there's a couple that you probably shouldn't use, I think we can still get by.
Yeah, we can use another one. But for me, it is hurtful. It is used to it is launched when someone wants to conjure up something that is to diminish, to hurt, inflict. Otherwise, why would you use it except to say that this is someone who is not worth my time, who is not of value.
Right.
That is a dismissive word, and that's so. I was just going to unfriend this comic. That was my intention. Mm-hmm. Just to you know what, done. That was my intention.
What happened?
Well, there was immediately. I really was just going to unfriend, but there was one person who said, "Please don't use that word."
Oh,
right?
Okay.
That's what he had put
in the comments.
In the comments of it, and it was like amongst like the first couple. and the barrage of F you and you stupid C word to this guy.
To the commenter?
To the commenter.
Really?
Yeah. And that's when I was like, oh, well, I was going to put something down. And just as to let them know, him, that that he wasn't alone, and to everybody else on that feed that he isn't the only one.
Right.
So I wrote, I'm not going to tell you not to use that word. It was disappointing. It is, as the mother of a special needs child, you know, I have to tell you, it is hurtful and an ugly word. Carry on. And I was about to just let that be it, and then I changed my mind. And I...
Yeah, that sounds like you. Yeah.
I should have just walked away altogether, right?
So, right.
So
you have
I,
trouble doing that in my experience.
Oh, I should have just walked away. So... I said, Holly. So I tagged Holly Simon, who is another mother, and she actually gives speeches on spread the word, to end the word, to teach people with respect, to treat each other with respect. And I tagged Holly Simon on it, and I because they had everybody, a lot of people were calling this guy a stupid C word. I wrote.
So now you're bringing other people into
another
this fray.
Mom is
okay,
my fault.
Yeah.
So I said, I wrote Holly Simon because we aspire to inspire others, not to force others to stop using the word, but, you know, hopefully through enlightenment and encouragement. But I wrote, I guess, for a couple of stupid C words, like this guy, because we are also. I don't know what happened next, because I immediately unfriended the person that was on the thread. I had a
mic drop moment for
you. I had a can of gasoline and I invited a match to the party. I don't know what Holly Simon said next, because the next thing I know, there's this open letter from this comic, F you, you stupid C word, to both of us, and that she's the only, all this stuff happened, but to the point
she's
where,
keeping it real is her, that's her argument?
Yeah. Yes. So that she wishes she had special needs so she wouldn't have to hear stupid retards like us.
She didn't say that.
Yes, she did. I have a screenshot of that. I'll show it to you during
Lord.
The break. And I did not, by the way, I did not copy and paste. I did not screenshot all the stuff that she wrote back at us, or even the original, because I felt I'd spoken my piece. I showed Holly Simon, like, here, this is, people don't believe us that people act this way.
Yeah.
But the next thing I know, like Holly Simon's friends, they all jump in. This comic, like, people are attacking Holly Simon. Like, look at her hair; she looks like a skunk with a bad tan.
Oh, they're moving on to other topics of
and
disdain.
Holly Simon is a breast cancer survivor, so her hair has become something that she takes special attention to since she lost all of it. So there's layers on top of layers on top of layers. So all of her friends are like, "Release the Kraken!"
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, they've reported the original post and all the ensuing attacks back and forth to Facebook, and Facebook has removed the whole. I should have just gone to sleep, John.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
and, well, how could you have known, Patty, that comedians are a touchy group?
Oh, my God. But to me, really, I would have just walked away. But it was my moment of, like, I need to say something for this guy who originally said,
yes,
please don't
your
use
heart
that
was
word.
In the right place. Absolutely.
Is it really when I tag somebody else? I should have just done
Well, when you tag someone else, I think you were looking to stir up a little trouble.
I was going to bed. I figured Holly Simon can take care of this. So now I feel very
You passed
badly.
The baton off to her.
I'm like, I'm going to sleep, Holly. Could you take care of this? I don't really have the energy for it. But that's the thing, is that she is tireless. And I guess it was my, and I never should have involved her. That was my mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, to me, I'm like, all the things that people threw out there afterwards, sort of went, oh, that's exactly who you are. All right, never mind. I should have just moved on in the first place.
Really, you got to let this. It's too much agita for you to handle, Patty, get into all these fights.
Well, and the other thing is, if they block her page, like, how angry is that comic going to be at me? Holy cats. Whoops.
Yep.
I got to put my gasoline away. More after this on 720 WGN. Craig.
Yeah,
we're not talking about Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, just a little?
Nope.
I mean, so close.
Sure sounds like it's time to talk about Game of Thrones.
Oh, we
to
are
me.
So close. The 17th of April.
Were you impressed at least a little bit for your... Can we talk about your podcast?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. Of course you can talk about my podcast.
I sound like I knew what I was talking about because I saw one episode.
Really impressive. Patty is in an upcoming episode of my podcast covering Game of Thrones, different seasons. And she has not seen any full episode. Yeah,
I saw.
She was part of a group. We had a group of people that ranged in their fandoms.
Yes, we did. Oh. And also in an interchangeable group. Esmeralda was there for part of it.
Esmeralda was replaced right after we asked the question if the show is sexist at all.
And then
I ran away.
And then she ran away.
She left and was replaced by Michael Palaszczuk.
That's wise. Correct. By that a man. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Michael Palaszczuk was in town?
Yes, he'll be here tomorrow night, as a matter of fact.
Oh, great. I'll be sure to listen.
He'll be performing Comedians You Should Know tomorrow. I believe at O'Toole's.
You should know him. He's a very funny guy.
You should. Do you know his credits are ridiculous? Letterman, Leno, Conan O'Brien, Craig Ferguson, his own half-hour comedy special, Last Comic Standing.
Well, it's kind of pretty good.
It's very good.
He's checking all the boxes there.
It's very, very, very funny.
He also appeared on You've Been Challenged, so right up there. Top of the list.
All of that has happened.
Hey, we have not been talking about the political results tonight because I think it's what everybody expected. But I do want to make a politically themed Netflix recommendation, if
Ooh,
I can. Although,
yes.
Is it on Netflix? I forget if I watch this on Netflix or on iTunes, but you can find it on some streaming service. It's called Best of Enemies. It's a documentary that came out last year, a very well-produced documentary about the 1968 TV debates between Gore Vidal and William F. Buckley.
Interesting.
That took place on ABC. And I think it's especially relevant to watch right now because it really documents the roots of this of the adversarial sort of cable TV debate culture.
Right.
How it's not it's
the pundits,
not,
the talking heads,
the pundits, and this feeling that it's not so much about the ideas as it is about sort of personal attacks on credibility. It's amazing to watch this event from 50 years ago and see how vividly and viciously these two guys go at each other.
With personal attacks on each other?
With personal attacks, I mean, I was really taken aback by it. I'd seen clips of the debates before, but the way they presented it.
And they weren't running for office. They were just.
No, they were just. I mean, William F. Buckley was, I don't know if
like
he was.
Like an editor.
He was an editor of the National Review, a columnist. And Gore Vidal was, of course, a writer. They were both failed politicians. They'd both run for office without.
They were political intellectuals.
Exactly. Political intellectuals, which is not.
That's sounds a little crazy.
Maybe an extinct breed on TV today. But, the only problem I had with the documentary is it kind of wrapped up with this conclusion that's sort of, I think, tarred cable news with a broad brush. And I have been watching a lot of cable news this year. And sure, a lot of it is trashy and a lot of it has been going after Trump purely for ratings. Mm-hmm. I can sympathize whenever we post something about Trump on the site. It does bananas traffic. It's hard to resist. But
Because of the outrage and the support. It's both, isn't it? When you
it's,
post
I mean,
about Trump,
on our site, it's mostly
outrage.
Our readership is it's mostly outrage. But yeah, it's a mix of it's just an intensity of enthusiasm really around Trump. But I think that cable news has been doing some good work. In particular, Chris Matthews, I've been watching a lot of, and not a lot of people talk about Chris Matthews anymore, but he is great at
that moment he got with Trump and would you do?
Right.
Would you? Okay, and this is an interesting conversation because I've been thinking about it. Abortion is such a hard topic to bring up at all. Like, I say that word and everyone just kind of goes, oh, here we go. What is she going to say?
Yes.
But I think that the question is very specific. If you make abortion illegal and you say that it is murder, then you then must say that you have to punish the mother.
There
the
must
woman.
Be some consequences for it. Well, and this was what Chris Matthews put to Donald Trump.
Right.
And a more seasoned politician would have been able to talk around that question because it's not like they haven't
gotten
should. It before.
But nobody should. Nobody
That's
should.
Right. That's
nobody
right.
should talk around it. If it is illegal, if it is decided that it is murder, then you have to say that the woman is a murderer. You have to punish her. That's all there is to it.
Right.
There's no gray area. I don't understand how there's any gray area. If your goal is to make abortion illegal, then women and then I guess the doctors are also assassins for hire. If it's
Yeah, I mean it's a And Chris, so that's what Chris Matthews did. He laid out this path of logic and just followed it. And that's,
how has it never been asked before? Has it been? Have you seen it be asked? But like,
I don't know that I have seen that particular formulation being put to a politician. And I, after he asked it, I didn't know why. And
well, because I guess the steps to it, right? Why should abortion be illegal? Because it's murder. Okay, then that's it.
Yeah.
Done. I don't. There aren't that many more steps left.
No, I mean, it doesn't.
I'm not attacking you.
No, I know, but there's not that much room to maneuver after you get to that point, right? And I'm not trying to come down on. I mean, I have my beliefs. Mm-hmm. I'm in favor of women choosing what they want. But Chris Matthews the next day had on the president of Planned Parenthood and a leading pro-life activist. He was respectful to both of them. He pressed both of them with, the name of his show is Hardball. So we're talking about political intellectuals, and I really feel that Chris Matthews, even though he is this cable talking head personality, I think that he finds a way to use his platform for good. And he's not the only one. I've found people to like on each of the three big cable news networks for sure. Did I say the name of the documentary that started this conversation?
You did, Best of Enemies.
Best of Enemies. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember. What was it? Yes, yeah. You did.
Best of Enemies.
Absolutely. We're getting some calls about the primaries in Wisconsin. Hi, Jill. How are you doing?
I'm good. Calling back to report. I went out at 7 today and voted for, I still have trouble with the name, Kasich.
Kasich.
I have a mental block.
Yes.
Kasich.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I can
when
be wrong.
I... No, you're right. It's just me. I have a mental block with his name. John.
Mm-hmm.
The one named John.
Governor, yes.
Governor of Ohio.
Yes.
Yeah, so I talked to my dad. He's down in Florida. And I told him, you know, I went and voted for Kasich,
mm-hmm.
John. My dad said, you wasted your vote.
No vote is a waste. I'm sorry. But go ahead.
Well, in my heart, I know they were going real heavy here on talk radio that you need to vote for Cruz in order to take down Trump. So if you vote for Kasich, they're saying you're pretty much voting for Trump.
Right.
So then I talked to my sister, and she goes, well, that was really stupid.
Oh, my gosh. What is wrong with your family?
She said, you might as well just have voted for Trump. And I thought, I don't know what's going to happen. It's 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably, I think it's going to wind up a contested debate. And you never know if he gets some votes and something up. I'm not, all my young friends were very up on Bernie. And especially,
yeah, he did very well.
I work on the East Side, and I can tell you I didn't hear Hillary's name ever mentioned, only Bernie. And in fact, my boss, her son, worked on the 2008 and 2012 Clinton campaign, Hillary's campaign, but I didn't hear much about her.
Yeah, no, it seems as though, it shows in the numbers.
Well, she hasn't been in town for a while, too. She got out of Wisconsin pretty early.
Yeah. She did. She was on Jimmy Fallon tonight. She's,
yeah.
Or Jimmy Kimmel. She's on Kimmel's show tonight.
She's been in New York for a few days, that's where she is right now. Yeah, she's focused on, I think New York is her latest firewall. You know, if Hillary loses in New York, that's really something. I think the Wisconsin loss was... You know, she had a chance, but I think the loss was expected there. But she's doubling down on New York. I find it hard to imagine that Sanders is going to be able to make that much headway there, but we'll see.
What do you think about that, telling someone that if you vote for Kasich, that it's a wasted vote? Do you believe in strategic voting or voting for what you believe in?
Well, I think either one is fine. I think either one is preferable to
not voting
at all.
I agree.
But if you go and vote for the candidate you believe in, I don't see the problem with that. And I think that,
Jill,
I think Jill was absolutely right when she said it's likely, it looks likely now that it's going to be an open convention and all bets are off.
Yes, that's
and
the thing.
That's Kasich's strategy. If you
stay in,
I mean, that's his only chance.
Mm-hmm.
So why not, if you believe in him, why not vote for him and give him a shot at that? Give him at least perhaps a chance to pick up some delegates so he can increase his clout at the convention. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But, you know, the thing is that everybody's doing the math, and a vote for someone is really a vote for someone else. And you can say that about any of the candidates involved in this three-way, I was just going to use a profanity that we discussed
which shows
earlier.
That you're very intelligent.
Yeah, I guess so.
Mm-hmm. It's just right there. You have it holstered, ready to go. But you choose your moments. But no, I think that you're right. And I've talked to a lot of people in the Republican Party who've said that Trump and Cruz are undesirable as a front runner, and that it is the long game to keep Kasich in there. I mean, that was kind of why they rolled out Mitt Romney, in the thinking that, oh, maybe we slip this in somehow.
Yeah, yeah. I saw interesting numbers from MSNBC tonight in their exit polls. They asked voters basically if Trump is the candidate, what will you do in November? Mm-hmm. And some 35% of them either said they wouldn't vote, or would vote for Clinton, or would vote for a third party candidate. Those three answers together got 35%. And Cruz, I think Trump was actually 38%. And for Cruz, the numbers were 35%, would abandon the GOP in November. Now, these polls are kind of nonsense right now. People's minds will change before November. It's kind of the way that anybody's citing general election polls at this point. You know, speaking of strategic voting, people are answering those based on the candidate they support in the primaries right now. So it doesn't mean a lot, but it still is striking to have a third of the party even entertaining the notion of leaving it behind.
Exactly.
If one of these candidates gets elected. I don't know how in this election cycle the GOP puts itself back together again. It does seem like a bit of a Humpty Dumpty situation that Trump has created.
But both parties, I think, have their turning moments, their turning points, and seem to cobble it all back together and hobble across the... I wanted to use the word hobble
they
and cobble.
And then they hobble.
They cobble, and then they hobble across the finish line. Let me figure out other things I can say after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I'm joined by the editor-in-chief of the AV Club, John Tatey. Producer Craig Collins is running the show. And Esmeralda Leon up in traffic. Rob Martier up in news. You were talking a little bit earlier. We talked about this documentary, mm-hmm. Best of mm-hmm. Enemies, with Gore Vidal and William F. Buckley. Mm-hmm. And we kind of, you know, I would say political intellectuals. I would not claim to be a political intellectual by any stretch of the imagination.
I
and you mentioned Chris Matthews. Last week was an interesting point in Donald Trump's campaign. There was the Chris Matthews moment. There was also the Anderson Cooper moment.
Yes.
Again, there were back to back. It was like, why isn't anybody else saying these things when Donald Trump was asked about the tweet he posted or retweeted,
right,
putting his wife next to a rather unattractive photo of Ted Cruz's wife, and he said, well, he started it. And it was so, I mean, yeah, that's the argument. Anderson Cooper said, excuse me, that's the argument of a 5-year-old. And it was, it seems like 2 days in a row, it was very simple statements, very clear cut comments that, yeah, what, answer that question. I mean, for both, and this goes for any candidate, Bernie and Hillary Clinton, and for Ted Cruz, Kasich. I mean, like,
it does.
It has to be, you know, answer this question, not the one that you want to answer.
And this is actually something that, you know, I was talking about cable news actually doing some good stuff this year. And this is something I think cable news has done well. I watched the Fox News town halls with Hillary mm-hmm. and Bernie, and they asked the candidates better questions than any of the sort of home turf Democratic debates have
right.
done. I mean, the problem with the debates is that they're arranged by the party. So the premises mm-hmm. of the questions are all aligned with party dogma, basically.
Right.
So the Democrats get very left-leaning questions, and the Republicans get these right-leaning questions. Like at all the Republican debates, it was just presumed that ISIS is, you know, going to destroy the country. Is an existential threat to the United States. Both sides' debates are like that. When they go on unfriendly turf, which I think obviously Fox News is for liberals and likewise MSNBC for conservatives, they get better questions. And mm-hmm. I'm, you know, my political leanings I think are probably evident to the listeners, but I'm telling you, like, Fox News did a great job with Hillary and Bernie, and I think MSNBC did a great job with the Republican candidates too, and CNN, which is more neutral, but a touch left-leaning, I would say.
And would you say that sort of has played itself out in the last couple of weeks in how Bernie is doing and how Ted Cruz is doing? Because it seems to have been a shift a little bit in sort of being able to cast a light on them that perhaps hadn't been there before leading up until these encounters.
Yeah, I mean, The media is made of people, mm-hmm. you know, and they have their foibles and they have their passions. And I think it's taken the media a while to get tired of the sugary high mm-hmm. of riding the Donald Trump magic carpet. But I think it is starting to happen. And I, you know, Anderson Cooper did have that moment with Donald Trump. But I have to give credit to Charlie Sykes, the radio host in Wisconsin, who sort of kicked all this off with, I believe it was the first or one of the first interviews Donald Trump did with the Wisconsin media. And this radio host, Charlie Sykes, said to him, like, this is a playground argument you're making.
Oh, interesting.
With this he started it thing with the mudslinging over the wives. And Charlie Sykes really pressed him. And that set the tone for the week that I think Anderson Cooper picked up on and Chris Matthews picked up on. So I do have to give all credit for him. Good on you, Wisconsin local media, for finally, someone finally had to put Trump's feet to the fire in terms of the dignity of his, of
right.
his campaign.
Yeah, that is something that seemed to be missing from just the tone of the Donald Trump campaign is dignity. And that seems the lack of dignity has been appealing up until now. It seems like that's been the component
yeah.
that people have really been drawn to.
I mean, when Donald Trump was referencing the size of his phallus in a presidential debate, mm-hmm. I thought, this is it. This is the end of at least Donald Trump's campaign. At that moment, it felt like the end of society.
But Rubio started that one.
Yeah. That's exactly right. But that didn't seem to, that didn't make a dent.
Mm-mm.
And it's also about the states that have been coming up in the sequence. You know, we assign a lot of narrative to the ebbs and flows of the primary calendar, but a lot of it is just an accident of which states come up when and which constituencies are good for either candidate. So a lot of these ups and downs are more accidental, and we ascribe more meaning to them than they actually have. But that I think that what happened over the last week was real with Donald Trump.
Right.
Whether it's lasting or not, I mean, you've been right about Donald Trump all along, but I think you would agree that neither of us can predict how this is going to play out in the
When it comes to this, especially in the coming weeks, in particular the convention, as
yeah.
we get closer to that, because
yeah.
I do think that's going to be a brokered convention. That's my sense of that.
Highly likely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that I've been saying since the fall. But I'm like, if the party ends up with Donald Trump, they're going to have to figure out. They will want to figure out a way to alter that, to have some control. Anyway, more after this on 720 WGN, hanging out with the editor-in-chief of the AV Club, John Tatey. Want to thank John Tatey, the senior editor for the AV Club. Oh, by the way, thank you for your thank you card. I was going to tell you, and I forgot to mention this earlier, your thank you card for the gifts we sent for little baby Leo.
Yeah, thank you.
My sons are 10 and 12 years old. I have not yet sent out their birth announcements, nor have I sent out thank you cards from my wedding.
I felt so guilty.
Yeah, never.
I was a few months late.
I hold on to all the guilt and still do. Like, it has incapacitated me, the amount of guilt that I have. Like, it just piles on. So I
feel like you're off the hook for the first child. Once you have another child.
The wedding thing is bad, too.
You didn't send that? Your
wedding
thank you?
You know what happened? My people were like, oh, you have a few months. And then my dad was diagnosed. This is so dark. My dad was diagnosed with lung cancer when I was like, okay, I can do this. I can. It's coming
you
up.
You were sitting down to write the notes.
Yeah, I had the pen in hand.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
You know, this is what it was like. And I've told Craig this before. I was calling people to tell them my dad was sick. I'm so sorry. And I would start the conversation with, I'm so sorry I haven't sent you a thank you letter. My dad's sick. That was really like the, because I would remember it as I was calling these people. I know you haven't heard from me. I'm so sorry. And also bad news. So you never have to apologize to me. No one ever has to apologize. I love thank you cards, and I know that it's an extra effort. So thank you very much for your thank you card.
You're quite welcome. Can I get in a quick plug for something
yes, please.
Interesting we did on the site recently? Last week was Cold War Week on the site.
Mm-hmm.
If you just Google AV Club Cold War Week, it'll come right up. And a lot of good content, including a complete timeline of the Cold War through the lens of pop culture, a pop cultural
Wonderful.
Timeline of the Cold War. I'm very proud of it, and I think you'll enjoy it.
I think we will. And that's John Tatey. Follow him on Twitter at John Tatey. It's T-E-T-I. Yesterday. Yesterday life.
You're listening pretty late. That's Yesterday Lies with Griffin by Griffin House. And we have him on the line because Mark Carman has, well, one, had him on his show and highly recommended. I wouldn't say Griffin, that Griffin House. Is your name Griffin House or is the name of the band? I haven't been given enough information here.
That's my fault. His name is Griffin House. Patty.
Griffin. Hey, Griffin, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm very well. Pleasure to meet you on the phone. You have a fantastic name. Just so you know.
Thank you.
My older son's name is Griffin.
I was going to say this.
Oh,
is
really?
There's an instant connection here, right?
Yes, I love the name. Did your parents have a reason for naming you Griffin?
It was my mother's maiden name.
So, oh, I love that. So I'm guessing you've done.
Yeah.
Do you wear things with a lion head and the body of what is it? It's the body of a lion, the head of an eagle.
Yeah, actually, my T-shirts have a head of an eagle on them. So.
Mm-hmm. Until my son was five, he was convinced that he was under his human form. He was actually a griffin in disguise.
It's kind of a cool thing to be.
It is.
I wouldn't change it.
Not at all. It's a spectacular name. And you were performing coming up at the City Winery.
Yeah, I'm playing there Thursday and Friday night.
And I believe we've just booked you for our show for Thursday night. We're having an on-air meeting. Can you come to our show on Thursday?
We'll see about that. I don't know that I'm going to be able to make it down there in time after, but I'd like to if I could, but I'd be a while before I can get out of there Thursday night, so we'll see.
I'm here till 2 a.m., not for nothing. You've got plenty of time.
Griffin House is also going to be at the Uptown Grill in LaSalle, Illinois on Wednesday and Saturday, so if you're a little downstate LaSalle or just feel like taking a drive, there's that option as well. And by the way, that song that we heard was Yesterday Lies, which means that at least It means to me that, you know, you look at your past like it's better than it is right now. And sometimes you know, that cannot be exactly accurate. Patty, can you relate to that?
Oh, I think we all can. I think that, Griffin, wouldn't you agree that it's both, a little bit of both, that you make some things better and some things worse in your rearview mirror?
Sure, absolutely. It's kind of the concept of the song. So it just seemed like the song should have been written already. So I tried to do it.
It's very well done. It's a beautiful song. How long have you been singing? Would you say that was, do you remember being like 3-4 years old and just belting out songs?
Not at all. I didn't really discover, I guess I did a lot of air guitar and stuff to records. I remember I saw Back to the Future and it really got under my skin. I had to go get a skateboard and I, Mrs. Duncan's class in the second grade, I asked her if I could get up and sing a song in front of the class. So I know I did Johnny B. Goode or something in front of the class and jumped up and did the splits, but then I took about 10 years off.
Decided you couldn't top that, not for a while at least?
Yeah, I retired after that until about the age of 16. I guess I tried out for some theater in high school and they gave me a singing part in a musical, but I didn't think I could sing, so I just kind of improvised and it worked out, I guess. So I found out I could do something I didn't know I could do.
Didn't you have a job at one point, Griffin? It's either like a Taco Bell or something. You decided that this is not for me, and you just went to some park and started playing and ended up, you know, putting a hat out there and actually made a couple dollars and thought maybe I could do this?
Taco Bell is funny, but it was Uno's Pizzeria, actually. I was working there, and I was a really bad waiter. I was in a band, but I was not doing great at the pizzeria job, and I took a little French fry basket down to Hyde Park Square in Cincinnati and put a little note on it and said, my real job pays $2.25 a day, $2.25. And I did well down there that day and just decided I'm going to pay the rent this way from now on. So that's what I did.
Yeah, no, it's a remarkable story. I love that you replace it with Taco Bell there.
Well, Taco, I mean,
that was good.
I mean, anybody who's been in the service industry, and I mean, I did it for a long time at both the ballparks, but I also worked at the Cheesecake Factory out in Old Orchard, and I lasted all 3 weeks, and I think a couple people left me 3 cents, or one time I was left 3 cents, and I kind of hurled that money at them as they were walking out the door. That was the end of my career.
Did you say anything, or you just hurled them?
No, I just, you know, I wanted to see how my arm was feeling.
Nice.
So I just let it out. Which, by the way, Griffin, you're an athlete too back in the day, right?
I see that you turned down a golf scholarship.
I did. I just
I don't know what to say about that. I guess
we're not holding you accountable for it. We're not accusing you of anything, Griffin. That's fine. You've made great choices. It's part of who you are.
Yeah, I think that's true. You know, I just kind of went with my gut.
Mm-hmm. And how does one self-teach guitar? I'm always impressed with people who say, no, I taught myself how to play the guitar. Is it buying books? Are there YouTube videos? What was your path for teaching yourself how to play guitar?
I had some friends that knew how to play that could help me, but it was definitely very tough getting over the initial hump. It was almost like sort of a painful process. I remember going out one night, and I was bound and determined to learn how to play, and I left my dorm room at like 10 p.m., and I stayed out walking around campus all night until 6 a.m. I think I slept on a park bench or something. I just decided I was going to play my guitar until I couldn't play it anymore, and then went to class afterwards. But that's kind of the kind of, I guess, I was bound and determined to learn how to play that thing, so...
Was it the kind of thing where it fell into place? Because, you know, as we get older, you always hear that if you don't learn how to play a musical instrument by a certain age, you're not really ever going to learn it. Or do you feel like, you know, as long as you're open to it and are committed to it, you can do anything?
I think that if you want to do it and put the time in, that you can do it at any age. You know, it's probably certainly easier to start young. But, I mean, I started way, way late. I was 18, so.
That's not way late. You probably feel like you're an old man now.
I'm a fully developed man at that point, so it's in terms of brain development, I think that's kind of how it goes.
Where's the drive come from? Who instilled that in you, or how'd you find it?
I don't really know. I have no idea where it came from. I mean, I think I always loved music, and I remember seeing Rattle and Hum on TV when I was like 14 or 15, and just kind of thought, kind of like to do that. So, unfortunately, that sets the bar pretty high. So, trying to emulate YouTube, Rattle and Hum is, you're probably not going to quite get there, but it's a nice thing to be inspired by.
Do you, now when you're writing songs and in the same, similar fashion that you taught yourself how to play guitar, do you assign yourself, do you try to make yourself write at a certain time every day, or are you, sort of when you're inspired, when it strikes you?
Well, I kind of have to be more intentional about carving out time now. I used to write both. I used to always, whenever I was inspired, and then I'd do kind of a daily routine type of thing, but now that I am married and a dad and a full-time musician and all that other stuff, I kind of have to find little windows wherever I can and make it work. So,
well, it's remarkable music. Do you want to say something else, Griffin?
I was just going to ask, how big do you want to grow it, Griffin? I mean, do you think about that?
I'm at the point right now where I just feel super grateful for what I get to do, and I hope I can just keep doing it a little while longer. It would be great.
Well, and I agree. And everyone can go see Griffin House at City Winery. Go to citywinery.com. And hopefully, if you have time on Thursday, we'd love for you to come by and hang out with us a little bit.
If it works out, I'd love to come see you guys.
All right. Sounds great. Get some rest, all right? And and we look forward to having you in Chicago again. citywinery.com. He'll be there on Thursday and Friday, and then in LaSalle, Illinois, Saturday and Sunday.
Wednesday, Saturday.
Wednesday, Saturday. I've heard it both ways.
A little Wednesday, a little Thursday and Friday up here, then back down on Saturday. You can't beat that. And then, you're coming up from Nashville, correct, Griffin?
Driving up tomorrow. Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing.
Well, be safe. Yeah. Have a wonderful trip.
Thank you so much.
And we look forward
Thanks
to meeting
for
you.
Me on.
Of course, our
you
pleasure. Too. Of course, that's Griffin House. Right. Mm-hmm. More after this on 720 WGN. Rob Martire was accusing Cubs fans of just losing their ever-loving minds because 2 days in a row just having great games. Have we finished our game in California against the Angels today? Because last night it was 9-0. Tonight, last I saw, it was 4-0.
We have most absolutely finished, and the Chicago Cubs are 2-0, Patty.
I know. Look, it's just different this year. It just feels
Mark, odds of an undefeated season. Go ahead.
I think it's at least a 17% chance that the Cubs go 162-0.
Oh, my God.
I mean, they've won their first two games by a combined score of 15-1.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to. That's like a haughty laugh. It's exciting. It's an excited laugh.
First time they've gone 2-0 since?
Since?
1995.
No.
Which is kind of pathetic.
That's why it always, this is why this feels so different. If it's been 21 years, is that possible?
It's amazing that, and I don't understand, once again, it's only two games, but the amount of hype that was around this team, and to come out and win 9-0 on opening day, and then back it up the next day with 6-1. Like, when the Cubs win 9-0, historically, the next day they lose by a run.
Right.
It's always, why didn't they save one of those runs for the next? I mean, that's like Cub fan logic. They won 9-0, and today they won 6-1, and John Lester pitched great, and yesterday Jake Arrieta pitched great, and Anthony Rizzo hit a home run. What's going on?
You know what the Cubs are doing?
What are they doing?
They're announcing their presence.
With authority?
With authority!
I didn't even want to do it that time. With authority, yes, apparently.
I'm a little excited.
I'm trying to remember that.
Bull Durham. Announce your presence with authority. Mm-hmm.
To announce your presence with
There's
authority.
There's a cuss word in there somewhere, which shows that it's actually a smarter movie than people think
it is. Wants to throw the fastball. Announce his presence with authority. It's maybe the best baseball movie. And by the way, you are, or you should have been, Susan Sarandon. Honestly, right? Just have a different one.
You mean in life? You mean in a different life? Yes. I should have been helping out the minor leaguers, picking one of them out?
Well, just have your... Just...
Craig's like, I don't think that's what he meant. No, I think that's what he meant.
No, that's exactly what I meant.
I could totally have seen myself in a different life, a different incarnation of myself, just picking out one of the minor leaguers, helping them out for the season.
You do your own thing. You provide wisdom for 6 months. You have a whole cool house. And a nice
read
easy...
a poetry time to the bed.
I feel like, okay, that part. Yeah, we hadn't mentioned how you're helping them out, and I felt like I saw a different Bull Durham than you guys.
I didn't. I mean, I don't want to be on the wrong side of the street here, but I didn't think it was that big of a stretch. I thought that, you know what, we could have that.
I could also be Amy Madigan in Field of Dreams, where she's yelling at the other
you
mom.
Could be. Yes, you could. That's the beauty of Patty Vasquez.
Let's do this, you Nazi cow. Let's take it away. That's that scene in Field of Dreams when they're talking about banning books. Can you please see if you can find that scene with Amy Madigan in Field of Dreams? I love that. She's talking about the character that James Earl Jones plays. His writing and stuff. Anyway, so how are the Sox doing? We should talk about them too.
White Sox are in a little bit of a doozy right now. It's they were up 4-2 going into the eighth and gave up two. So we had a 4-4 game, and then the Sox played it a run in the ninth on a Jimmy Rollins home run, Patty.
Mm.
So 5-4 White Sox.
Okay,
We're in the top of the ninth. White Sox are still batting, trying to equal the Cubs 2-0. Adam Eaton tonight, by the way, leading off 3-for-5, hitting a robust .625 on the early season. So, Sox got great pitching last night from Chris Sale, and they got another good outing tonight from Jose Quintana. So, who knows? Crosstown Classic, World Series? Why not?
I like the sound of that. Earlier, John Tatey was here, the editor-in-chief of the AV Club, and he was saying how much he was surprised that it's interleague play already. Like, he's not much. I don't think he follows baseball as much. But
well, normally they don't start the season with it, but this year they did.
Yeah, all bets are off, apparently.
Right.
All right, then.
So the Cubs have the day off tomorrow. They travel to Arizona for a four-game series that starts on Thursday.
And then home opener?
Home opener Monday night, which is just sacrilegious. Opening night. It's opening day. It's not opening night.
It should be opening day.
And it's going to be, at least the weather forecast that I saw today, somewhere in the 30s.
What?
With some snow.
No.
Yeah,
it's in the 30s with snow. That makes me so, so angry, kind of like this.
All right, Beulah, do you want to step outside? Fine.
All right.
I've got a better idea. Let's put it to a vote, all right? Who's for Eva Braun here? Who wants to burn books? Who wants to spit on the Constitution of the United States of America? Anybody?
All right, then.
All right. Now, who's for the Bill of Rights? Who thinks freedom is a pretty darn good thing? Come on. Let's see those hands.
I can see Patty doing this.
Who thinks that we have to stand up to the kind of censorship that they had under Stalin?
This is how I sound to a lot of our listeners.
I was going to say, hasn't Patty done this?
Yeah, I think this is how I sound. Like, I'm always yelling at people.
Listen, Springfield.
Yeah. That's a... Craig, that's one of my favorites.
There you go.
All right, there you go, America. Yeah, that's one of my favorite scenes. Steve often feels like when we're in a big meeting like that, he's like, you're gonna go Annie on me, aren't you?
Listen, Beulah, do you want to step outside?
She calls her a Nazi cow in the moment.
I didn't get that. That's all right.
That is okay.
Carm's afraid. He's like, I don't know what it takes to trip that wire, but I hope I stay away from it. More after this on 720 WGN.
He is not a book burner, you Nazi cow.
There it is. That's the one I like. At least he's not a book burner, you Nazi cow. So that's I'm more Annie from. So they're both named Annie, aren't they? Annie in Field of Dreams and Annie in Bull Durham.
That's okay. I never put two and two together, though, but that is correct.
I'll be your Annie in your given baseball movie, apparently.
Annie, what a great name!
It is a good name.
Never had an Annie.
It's just like the Martha thing. God,
Martha, not a great name.
No, not a great name.
Have you seen the Batman versus Superman?
No.
Okay. Can you hang out for another segment or so?
I can.
All right, then.
I can.
Good, because it's time for news. Here is Rob Martier. Blackhawks won tonight, thank God. They've won five of the last six. Do they have one game left against the Blues? Is this all that's left of the season? They're still fighting for a home ice advantage?
Yeah, that's probably...
Two games? They have two games left? Okay.
They are 47-26-7 now, Patty,
mm-hmm.
which is, coming off of...
Some of the last few weeks, the games that they've had.
Well, it's just, they've played so much hockey, and to have the year that they've had, and you're right, to have won five of the last six, finishing up strong here. Scott Darling with another solid performance. Like Corey Crawford back on the ice at practice. Mm-hmm. Looks like he's going to be, Joel Quenneville was emphatic that he'll be the game one starter in the playoffs. They got the Blues on Thursday, Columbus on Saturday, then it's playoff time. So we're there. Starting.
We're there. We're in. Oh, it's all good. It's very, very exciting. And you also had some basketball news to share with us, some stuff going on.
Yes, the good news.
Let's start with bad news. Let's just go with, can we do
bad news? Well, the bad news is the Bulls lost tonight. So that's not good news.
No, that's not good news at all.
They lost, and they got, not only did they lose, but they got smoked. 108-92, the Memphis Grizzlies.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's not good. And Derrick Rose returned tonight. He's been battling an elbow injury. Shot 5 for 15, which is 1 out of 3, which is 33%. For those of you doing the math at home, that is not very good. Jimmy Butler was non-existent tonight either. 2 for 8, had 5 points.
How would you like that to be your description of how you play today? Non-existent.
Non-existent. But you know what the good news is, and has nothing to do with the Bulls, is that the Warriors are probably not going to break the record.
Why is that exciting?
No, I'm sorry if I jumped the gun on that.
No, it's good. Why? I don't know why.
They lost again, so they're one loss away from being incapable of defeating the record.
Right.
They could only tie it.
Who has the record?
They have two games against the San Antonio Spurs coming up.
Right, and they just lost. Well,
you were just dripping with excitement on that.
It's the Bulls. It's the 96 Bulls, 72-10.
Mm-hmm.
It's Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen's Bulls, which Scottie recently said would also sweep the Warriors if they ever played in a postseason together.
They had that team then and this
right.
team now?
Exactly correct.
Does he know that's not possible?
Yeah, we don't have a time machine, but I wish we did.
I'm guessing Carm would also agree with Scottie Pippen on that one.
Actually, I would disagree with Scottie. I think the Bulls would beat him in three, and then the Warriors would just quit and not show up. They wouldn't have to play a game for Charles Barkley laughed it off, too. He's like, he was asked about it. Scottie Pippen said, well, I disagree with Scottie. Yeah, they would not kill Golden State. Golden State would win one game.
Oh, there you go.
I'll say this, though, if I may.
Please do.
Because all these old guys are talking down the game right now. Oscar Robertson, one of the greatest players who ever played.
Why don't players just do their thing? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, but here's the thing. Like, okay, if you go old school baseball, standing in the batter's box, fastball's coming down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, that's kind of the same. basketball now compared to the 50s and 60s and 70s. Do you know how much bigger, stronger, faster, longer, everything they are? Bob Cousy, you look at highlights, this little guy dribbling. I mean, if he was playing nowadays.
You think it was a towel boy?
He wouldn't get off the bench. He wouldn't. The size and skill and stamina, whatever you want to throw in there, everything about these guys, they're just bigger, stronger, faster. So if I was one of these new guys, hey, Oscar, if you played now, we'd run circles around you. You guys didn't even shoot the three ball back then.
Yeah, that's interesting that you bring all that up, that they're bigger, stronger, faster, and yet the game is currently dominated by a point guard who shoots all the time.
Well, right, but they're so skilled. I mean, he's so ridiculously skilled. The guy crosses half court and he's a threat.
With precision?
I mean, it's unbelievable.
All right.
So I'm not saying like the Bulls, okay, fine.
How is viewership for the NBA right now? Because it seemed like it maybe because Chicago here we haven't had a lot of passion for our team, but I'm just wondering, like, are the numbers still there when it comes to watching basketball games?
The numbers are there for the NBA. Yeah, they're very strong.
I'm just wondering if the quickness, the bigger, faster, stronger, has diminished the tactical nature of basketball.
No, I would. I mean, the game is extremely healthy. I don't know if it's not at the level when Michael was playing, just watched globally to that level. But you got some big time guys going on. I mean, people love watching LeBron. People love the story of Golden State. I mean, the finals last year got enormous ratings because it was LeBron and Golden State. And that's probably going to be the same thing this year. So there'll be big time ratings for it.
But do you think that Michael Jordan, beside his talent, was also sort of this charismatic? That's why he was globally adored. There was something about him that was alluring.
He had the presence. There's no doubt. He knew how to do it. He was at the championship game. Tuesday now? Wednesday? Yeah, I mean, it's okay, two nights ago, but last night, basically, mm-hmm. right? He was at North Carolina, Memphis. I'm assuming you guys talked about that at
length. Oh, yeah, at length.
Yeah.
What game was he at?
Yeah, that was the NCAA title game with Chris.
The one where you had Villanova getting there, but then not winning, unfortunately.
By the way, Esmeralda, did you fill in your brackets?
Yeah, I ranked 20, but so did like 20 other people.
Yeah, she picked
people.
Villanova to win the whole thing, Carm.
Way to go, Esmeralda.
Yeah.
I know.
How many points did you end up with?
Oh, 75, I think.
Nice. I ended up with 72. I don't know where I ended up in the ranking. I'll have to take a look.
Sounds like you guys were both right there.
I picked Michigan State to win the whole thing.
So did I.
Over Villanova.
See, Patty, you know exactly as much as I do. But I didn't have Villanova, though. You actually did better than I did. But, the Warriors, they got, as Craig mentioned, they're going to have to play the Spurs twice. So the Bulls are probably going to hold on here.
Are they? How many more games do the Bulls have?
Well, this is the old school Bulls, but so they've got.
Oh, I see what you're saying. These, for the record,
these Spurs are. They play the Spurs at home on Thursday, then at Memphis, who the Bulls lost to tonight on Saturday, then at San Antonio on Sunday. Then one of those two they got to lose. Just one of those two.
And Mark, how did you do on your bracket? Do you remember?
Are you checking for him?
Greg? No, I'm checking for myself. I came in 810th.
Oh,
yeah. I didn't. Sometimes
very
I have
close.
I have this thing called memory loss, and I forget to check my WGN email.
Got it.
And even though I read those billboards 8,000 times, I never actually did the GN pool.
You didn't do the WGN pool?
No, that's
interesting.
I
registered 3 times on accident.
Yeah, you did kind of.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah. Actually, there's one that you don't know that is mine as well. I accidentally entered my password as my screen name.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you which one it is.
No, it's totally fine.
Somewhere in the thousands of submissions is one of my passwords. I don't know how I did that.
That's hilarious.
I'd like to... if I may personally apologize to Jimmy DeCastro, Todd Manley, Stephanie Menendez.
That's necessary. I agree.
Steve Cochran, Rokan, Dave Ennett. How many other bosses am I missing out that I have?
No, I'm actually checking right now, and Jimmy DeCastro did offer a prize internally to whoever
$300.
Did the best. Yeah. Esmeralda Leon might have won that.
What about Hill? W720 Hill.
No, 720 Hill did not beat her.
No, what? There is a few that were 20s, ranked 20, so I don't know how that would work.
No. You did the best. There's some people ranked above you. Oh, you mean you tied with some people?
No, there's people ranked above me.
No, but those people are not, they're not people that work here.
Yeah, they are. There's, where did I see it?
No, you're the first one with 720, so you at least did it right.
Do we have a breaking?
720 Kathy and Judy and 720 Hill.
720 Hill, where? 720 Kathy and Judy, number 20 and number 20. Yeah,
yeah.
They all got 75 points. So
they all tied.
Right. So I think probably in the rounds, they probably did better at some point. Mm-hmm.
Do we have a breaking news sounder?
Why?
Okay, give me a second.
Breaking?
It's major news. Major.
By the way, I ended up being 51st with 72 points.
Good job.
All right. Thank you. Just pat me on the head.
That's not bad.
Good job, Patty.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate that. What's your breaking news? Do we have a breaking news thing? Wait.
Great job. God, I love Craig Collins. All right. The White Sox have beaten the Oakland Athletics 5-4. So both the Cubs and the White Sox are 2-0 for the first time since?
Since
1995. 1951.
What? Oh, did you say both teams?
Both are 2-0. The Cubs for the first time are 2-0 since 1995, last time they did that. But the Cubs and White Sox are both 2-0. For the first time since 1951.
I don't know what to do with this information.
I have to read a text real quick that's not about what Mark just broke. That's amazing breaking news.
That's crazy, Greg.
From the 815. Hey, Craig, who is that lady screaming about the Bill of Rights? I kind of thought it was Patty. Exactly our point, 815. Correct. We all kind of thought it was Patty.
Is Amy Madigan in the movie Field of Dreams. She plays Annie, Kevin Costner's wife, in the movie. They are in the school gymnasium where parents are trying to ban a book because they find it offensive. And yes, who's for the Bill of Rights? Who's for freedom of expression? Yeah, that does sound like a little bit like, yeah, raise your hands.
As we continue to have parallel conversations right now for just a brief moment, how pathetic is that? 1951,
that both
teams started 2-0.
And that wouldn't have even come up on your radar if they weren't both 2-0 today. See, this is great.
No, thanks.
It's a good day.
Thanks to our friend Chuck Garfine over at Comcast Sportsnet for the tweet. And I did kind of say
yesterday, Mark, that fans might pay a little bit too much attention to the first couple weeks of the season. I don't know how much it matters that both the Cubs and the White Sox are 2-0 for the first time since the 1950s. I don't know that that says a lot about the rest of the year. I don't know if that's guaranteeing anything. I feel like it's just two games.
If people are going to be morose and upset and suicidal when we don't do well, can we not be excited and thrilled and do
that's
a happy
true.
Dance? Do a little shimmy, shimmy, shake, shake.
Yeah.
It's weird. Cubs fans are never usually this excited, right? Like, this is a whole new level of confidence.
They're so subdued.
It's very strange. Right. We don't really, even when we were in the playoffs last year, like, people were kind of like, I think we're doing really well.
I don't know that this is a crazy statement, but it might be. Would this be the most disappointing year for the Cubs to not,
no.
you know?
Okay. No. No, I think that we're okay with getting our hopes up. We are completely
They're really high, though.
We've never had that before. In my lifetime, we have never been this excited.
Let's put it this way. If they go in the playoffs this year and they're up 3-1 in the National League Championship Series and they lose 3 in a row like they did in 2003, mm-hmm. that might be the ultimate crusher.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But we're not. I don't think we're going to be suicidal. I think we're going to be like, man, that was a good season. Come on, everybody, all Cubs fans. If it starts going south, we got to be in it to win it.
Did you pull the wacky tobacco into the studio? We will. If they go up 3-1 and blow, let's do something like that. People will be under the table. And
no,
they won't come out for months.
You're not allowed. You're absolutely not allowed. Let's make an oath to each other, Cubs fans, and Sox fans. You are also 2-0. So let's make a commitment to emotional. It doesn't have to be to me. You can text. Say I commit to being with my team throughout the whole season, come hell or high water, come good times and bad times, I will be behind my team. And I will wait until the very last strike, the very last out, to react in whatever way that is. You can be upset, you can be excited, but wait until the last game, out.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you there. But if it happens, if disaster occurs,
yes,
I'll be under the table.
You'll be under the table? All right.
I'm not saying it's going to happen.
I'll bring you a drink if you're under the table, and I'll drink with you.
Thanks.
More after this on 720 WGN. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, hanging out pretty late with Mark Carmen. He hosts The Beat Saturdays and Sundays. On Saturdays, is Adam Hogue on Sundays?
Adam can, he's doing most days as of late.
Okay.
Come football season, then he'll probably slip off of Saturdays. And we'll have Hamp and OB with Kaz on Sundays. And who knows what we'll be going on at that
Let's
point.
Let's not think about football yet.
Let's not.
We are pacing ourselves emotionally when it comes to the Cubs and or White Sox. I would love, I don't know. When do you start dreaming about a crosstown classic? I mean, Crosstown World Series. Mid-season.
Another week.
Another week?
Another week. Couple games.
Yeah.
I have a friend, a childhood friend, who's a lifelong Cubs fan, and he's sending texts to everyone he knows right now saying how this is the year.
Oh,
every
really?
Day, every day there's texts with, like, people's photos in them and stuff. And it's like, this is the year. This is the year it's going to happen. So he's amazingly excited.
Wow. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm just pacing myself.
You know what's awesome?
I was dancing. I was screaming last night when we won 9-0.
Were you?
Yes.
Cardinals are 0-2. Yeah. Lost again to the Pirates.
Well, we have a lot of listeners that are fans of the Cardinals. And we are so very sorry for the beginning of your season. But we know you. We've been you. So it's okay.
We understand.
It's the first two games.
We understand that you can be great for a long period of time. And then you can all just implode. And all of a sudden, your great organization is just... In the toilet, and we'll never be back.
Wow, you've already closed the lid on that toilet, even.
Oh,
what's going on in St. Louis?
Well, they're playing the Pirates, who are excellent, and it's early in the season.
It's early in the season. We're talking trash already.
Yeah,
pace yourself, Carm. Pace yourself.
Well, if you recall, Patty, when we were with the Marines out in San Diego, you ditched me and made me sit with the St. Louis people. None of that's true. But
I did not ditch you. You were so super late for dinner.
You did not save a seat for
me. Yeah, that part's true. I didn't realize how quickly yes, Craig.
Wasn't there a really cute St. Louis person, though, that maybe...
No.
Okay. Wait, the cute person was it? She was not a St. Louis person?
Cute person.
No,
was
she was definitely Chicago.
Chicago. What was her name?
Eva. She was a hottie. Everybody liked Eva.
I blew that one.
You sat next to her on the plane or something, right?
I could have.
You had a couple opportunities. Let's not go into that. You actually have a... You did. I'm not even... There was one point you were swinging on the rail of a scaffolding showing up.
Oh, yeah.
Were you doing chin-ups on that bar?
Yeah. I was... That was... I was aggressive there.
You had several opportunities. You're working your way through things right now, and I understand that there's a wedding coming up that you
Jordan Burfield.
Yeah, you're deciding whether or not to attend the wedding because there are high stakes when it comes to past relationships involved in this celebration.
Have you ever been to a wedding where your ex is with someone else?
Let me think. I'm trying to think of I don't think so. No. The wedding of an ex-boyfriend is what you're saying?
It would be the wedding of an ex-boyfriend who...
Oh, right. But is friends with the bride and helped...
The ex-boyfriend would be friends with the bride and is now, you know, deeply in love with someone else, and you just kind of be hanging out at the wedding.
No. I like to, for the most part, I like to put my exes in the rearview mirror. Bye-bye. It's just healthy.
Right. Which is why...
You don't want to go.
Well, it's why I never would have done this setup because, you know... It would just be something that I knew would blow up in my face at some time, but she did it, and now, of course, I have to deal with the repercussions here.
How does Jordan feel about the possibility that you might not attend his wedding?
He has no idea that's a possibility.
Oh.
I'll be...
Let's call Jordan Bordenfield for our wake-up call.
Yeah, wake-up call.
Pretty late wake-up call.
Mark can tell him his decision.
How fresh is the breakup?
It's fresh now, but by the time this wedding comes around, it won't be fresh.
So wait,
But
is that months? Or?
How bad was the breakup? Did you say that? He's
dented all over the place.
It's a very cordial breakup, but it's a very rough situation in the old heart.
That doesn't make sense.
No, I understand, Carl.
No, did you?
I had the same situation.
Wait a minute.
It's the aftershocks.
No, wait. Right. Though by cordial, does that mean that you kind of sensed that it was over, so you accepted it, but it hurts in the heart because maybe you didn't want it to end?
I mean, I think outwardly I accepted it, but inwardly.
Exactly. That's exactly what I just said. So right. It was cordial.
Silent protest? Was it a silent protest?
I mean, yeah. I don't. I guess.
And that makes it even worse. Don't go to this wedding.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you wake up at 3 in the morning and you're screaming your name, I think that's a sign that you've got some significant issues you got to work through.
That was really sad.
How long is the... When's the wedding?
Yes. Don't know when the wedding is.
Months, years?
Probably months, but maybe...
This year?
I don't know.
I think when he said that he wakes up yelling her name, we just don't go to the wedding.
Don't go to the wedding.
Yeah,
if it's
a significant amount of time...
No, he's going to have to pretend, though, that he doesn't care, and he obviously cares.
Are we on the radio?
I think that isn't there a possibility like there's someone from your past that if you saw them at a wedding, even if you're with somebody, you're married or in a solid relationship, you could end up at a wedding with somebody and see them with somebody else and still get like that sort of stabbing
pain. Oh, yeah,
for
sure. Right.
Why would you want to put yourself in that position?
Exactly. No, don't do it. Unless you get with Eva and get to bring her to the wedding, don't go.
I mean, your friend, I mean, what's your friendship?
Mm-hmm.
It's a good point. It's a good friendship.
Yeah, to see him be married and all that.
Yeah.
Oh. He's like, all right. Send me the video. There'll be plenty of pictures.
Yeah, there's videos.
I guess you'll save some money.
Yeah,
I'll send him. I think if I didn't go, I'd have to send like a double gift. But no, I'm going. I'm absolutely going.
Don't go to the wedding.
There's no. Right. But my question more at the time was, can I like influence? Like, listen, there's no plus one allowed here.
There's no plus one for you allowed?
No, I'm saying like why? Like
oh, tell him not to allow. Everyone has to go stag. Friends
not,
only.
Not everyone.
Her.
You're not that. Even though because of her, he's getting married. Just cut her off with you're invited. But there's
Don't bring anybody else.
Okay, right. Wait. How big is this wedding? How many people invited?
I'm guessing.
No, but she'll know why. She's been told specifically not to bring someone else.
She'll think she knows why, but there could be lots of reasons.
I can't ever think of a circumstance in which anyone has received an invitation like that, or even directives.
By the way, you can't bring a date.
Yeah. She'll know why.
What do you mean? You can't just get an invitation, just you, and there's no plus one?
That doesn't exist anymore.
That's not how a wedding works.
No. Right.
Yeah. And if it doesn't give you the space to say plus one, you just bring someone anyway.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
Don't go to the wedding.
Okay, correct.
I don't know. Esmeralda and I haven't decided.
I have to go.
Don't go to the wedding.
If there is no set date yet.
Yeah.
Are you RSVPing yet?
No.
Don't even think about like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Just work on you, Carm. Aww. Work on you.
I agree.
Maybe the best advice ever. Esmeralda.
Work on you. Mm-hmm.
Work on you.
Yeah, because you're building it up bigger now in the anticipation of how bad it's going to be.
Exactly. And what if by the time the wedding comes around, it still probably will be a little icky. But it probably won't be as bad.
We've all seen a bunch of romantic comedies, right? We know this is going to be just a terrible, horrible, or maybe it's going to be wonderful. Don't go to the wedding, Carm. Don't go to the wedding.
Wow.
Send Jordan a really nice gift
312-981-7200. Should Carm go to the wedding? Or have you had this experience? Do you have advice for Carm? Have you been in a social situation, a particular wedding? Because that's the thing, is that you're so revved up. It's romantic, and someone is making a commitment to somebody else, and all you can think is, that was going to be us.
Why are you giving out the phone number? Are we on the radio right
now? They know. 312-981-7200. I just want to see if anyone's been in your shoes. I don't know.
Honestly, how big will the wedding be? Do you really have to say more than a hello, how are you? Okay. And then you don't have to see her the rest of the wedding.
Physically remove yourself.
That's what I do.
No, I probably could. Then I'll be the guy in the corner creeping out, being like, what's she doing over there?
Don't
go to the wedding.
I feel like I should go to the wedding with Carm.
Yes.
Can I be your plus one? That way you don't have
absolutely.
To like show. There we go. Cool. I haven't been to an open bar in a long time. More after this on 720. I will be on time. That feels like a really perfect music for the last hour of our show. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, taking you all the way to 2 a.m. And Nick D is coming up after 2. By the way, I was at Nick D's movie club tonight. We saw Raging Bull. Have you seen Raging Bull, Craig?
Yes.
Did you enjoy that movie?
Yeah,
so
I like
good.
It. Yeah.
It's kind of haunting.
It is haunting.
I did not have the opportunity to stay for the whole movie because I have a show to do. I haven't seen it since I was a little kid. And as a 10-year-old, I'm pretty sure I fell asleep because I didn't understand it. And there was a lot of punching.
Punching is the best.
I didn't get the relationship. I didn't understand the... is it really that... It can be that simple, I think, that a beautiful woman can make some... Is he already crazy, or is being with a woman who is so beautiful make a man crazy?
I think it's the second one. I think that being with a woman that beautiful can make some men crazy.
Some men.
And he would be one of those men.
Yeah. So I think that the ability to be crazy is there.
Yeah.
And then there's
a
trigger.
Right. That craziness has to be there.
Right.
And then the woman just brings it right on out.
By the way, she was 19. Nick was talking about it before the movie started, that Kathy Moriarty, that's who plays the young woman in the movie, she was 19. She looks 30 in that movie, but not because of her face, but because of her attitude and it's sort of just so cool, her coolness. It was remarkable. It's a great performance, and it was her first movie. She was nominated for Best Supporting Actress, and just really great. Are you looking it up that she was 19 years old?
Yeah, I was looking at all that.
Yeah, and what's great is that she's supposed to be 15. She was 19, didn't look 19, was playing a 15-year-old. It was all very confusing to me. And I had no idea that Jodie Foster had wanted that role.
Me neither.
But I didn't know that.
Is this all Nick D information?
Yes, it was.
Wow.
See, that's the great thing about going to the Nick D movies.
Yeah, he's very informed.
By the way, the next one, next month, Risky Business is the movie he's showing for the movie club. Yeah, we have to come to that.
I'm not a huge Tom Cruise guy.
Neither am I.
But that's a pretty It's good pretty, Tom Cruise movie.
Oh, it's a good yeah. movie. I really like that movie. Yeah. Well, I haven't seen it since I was a kid. I saw it.
No, I haven't seen that in a long time.
I haven't seen inappropriate movies since I was 10. No, I saw a lot of inappropriate movies when I was a kid.
I've heard.
And so watching them as an adult is really strange.
Because they don't seem anywhere near as inappropriate? Or
no, yeah. They're like, really, my dad dragged me out of this movie? Why did he bring me to it in the first place? Right. Really seems...
Basic Instinct did seem like a mistake, though, in all honesty.
Such a mistake. Yeah. Such a wild...
You should not have been at that movie at that
Officer
age.
And a Gentleman, Risky Business, that one. But later on, Basic Instinct when I was a little bit older. Why would you go to... Why? And it doesn't even... You know what? Basic Instinct doesn't matter what age you are. That's not a movie you want to see with your dad. Just you and your dad watching Basic Instinct.
Nope, not at all.
I'm assuming he never looked up what they were about.
So bad at like
you
looking at those
research
things.
That though.
And they always, even then, before we were able to Google things in the paper, it would give you a synopsis.
Yeah, it gives you a synopsis or something and a rating.
And a rating.
That's
or
available.
A commercial on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I mean, what is the synopsis for Risky Business? It has to be that
all ages appropriate.
He decides to run a whorehouse out of his house.
That's correct.
And my parents went, let's take her to this one. Oh, one flew over the cuckoo's nest when I was like two.
Was it one of those things like Brian Quijada said where they didn't care if kids were supposed to go somewhere? They just took you everywhere.
Otherwise, they wouldn't go out.
Right.
Yes. And then we saw that actually at Brian Quijada's performance where someone brought an infant to his show.
Yeah, that was not great.
That was very awkward.
Yeah, that was a little sad.
Well, and a lot of people complained that for the Batman versus Superman movie that there were kids at...
Sorry, go ahead.
Esmeralda, how full was the theater when you went to go see that last Friday?
I was fairly full.
Still full?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Any kids?
I did hear one towards the end. I could hear someone, a child.
Crying?
That no, they me. Were just talking loud. You went again?
Yeah, I've been going a lot.
No, there was a kid. I could hear like a kid voice and then someone going, shh. I think it was the parents shushing them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully the kid was criticizing the movie.
Is that what you think was happening?
I would think so if he's a big fan.
By the way, he used a cuss word. See how I'm going to transition here?
Mm-hmm, nice.
There's just one cuss word in the whole movie. It's near the end, and one of the superheroes says the S word, and I thought, really now? the whole movie, like right. This is your humorous moment is to go, oh,
Yeah, even the humorous moments, not so lovely. But yeah, the curse word thing, I think you're looking for an intelligence.
Yes, I saw an article. When you see a headline that says, just because you swear doesn't mean you're stupid, it's actually more that you might be this is my favorite. It might be an indication of intelligence. The problem with the story is that the whole thing is pretty much cussing. It's a lot. I'm trying to see if
I can. Yeah, we can't read any of it. That's...
Good news, a-holes. That's how it starts.
Good news, everyone.
All those bleep heads who have been telling you for years that curse words are a sign of poor breeding, low intelligence, and a bleeping command of the bleepy? Bleepy command of the
bleepy
English...
command of the bleep bleep.
English language should shut their bleeping mouth because it turns out that eloquent swearing is merely a sign of a strong vocabulary. Did I make it through all of that without cussing?
You did.
How could it be an eloquent indication of
I don't know how it makes strong vocabulary. I don't know how it indicates a strong vocabulary because if you're using those words as kind of a crutch, that's not really.
What if you have really good swears?
There's only so many.
Yeah, but you know when you start
chaining them together?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you start adding words and...
That is impressive sometimes.
I've decided that duck balls is my new favorite thing to say.
See?
Wait a minute now, though.
What?
In what context?
That is the duck has them, just to not use the other word.
So you just say duck balls to replace some other words?
Yes.
Yeah. I did that with muffin for a while.
Muffin?
Yeah. In high school, I realized I was cursing a lot, and I thought that maybe I should change it.
Why
so
muffin?
I don't know. Someone said you should replace the word with something, and then muffin was the first thing that came into my brain.
Weren't you just hungry all the time?
Yeah, I was hungry
like,
a lot.
Right now, I'm like blueberry muffins.
Good. Banana bread muffin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there was a study from some bleeping eggheads at Marist College. This is the article, by the way. I'm reading this, Esmeralda. And the Massachusetts College shows that there is a misconception that people believe the poverty of vocabulary hypothesis, the belief that the people who curse a lot do so because they don't have anything else to say. In this view, people who use phrases that have a lot of bleeping words, oh my gosh, I can't use any of these words, but nope, nope, Nope. They are the idea that they're not being creative, that they're just leaning on those words as a crutch, as you mentioned. They actually, it turns out that those who are more proficient in coming up with those bad words are also more verbally proficient in general.
So they're talking about the people, Esmeralda's explaining to us, the ones that add the curse word to sort of an original phrase.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's
right. There are examples of some of these phrases, and we
can't use that one.
Mm-hmm. Wet food.
It found that people with the most curses on the tips of their tongues were less agreeable and conscientious and more neurotic than others. What? But we pretty much knew that already. With the most curse words, the surprising finding was that generally more taboos they threw out, the more words they know overall. So there, I do kind of find that hard to believe. I don't know why. Griffin's finding out that mommy swears more than he thought she did. I've become more lax.
Yeah. Griffin became more lax, didn't he?
Well, Bruce Campbell helped him out with that, by the way. Ooh, I'm so excited about Wizard World.
I know. Bruce is coming back.
Yes.
And he's going to be on the show again, we're hoping.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping. There's a lot of people I'm hoping we get. David Duchovny is a possibility.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Christian Kane.
Does Esmeralda have any requests for this?
Yeah.
Wizard I have to World? See who's there.
Okay.
Can you forward her the link appearances for Wizard World? There aren't that many women that we saw that were possibly appearing at Wizard World. Mm-hmm. But just because verbally fluent people have the ability to cuss with the best of them does not mean they will do so. Smart people might know 20 ways to tell someone to go do something nasty, but they also presumably know how to moderate that language based on circumstance. Oh, see, that's a thing, right? I moderate. I'm not saying I'm intelligent. I'm saying that I cuss a lot when I'm not. I guess basically what I'm saying is I may possibly rely on swearing in the appropriate circumstances. And I don't like when people swear around my son. If I almost hit another car or if another car almost hits me is when I'm most likely to swear in front of my son.
Yeah.
And that has happened a total of 3 times in his lifetime.
Oh,
and,
on the road. Definitely.
Yes.
Norman Reedus, please.
Also, did you see that Loki, Thor, Captain America, they're all going to be there? Falcon?
I did not. I know that Winter Soldier is going to be there. What?
Yeah,
no, wait.
Everyone.
No, wait a minute. Captain America's coming?
Chris Evans.
No.
Wait, are you sure? Are you looking by city?
I'm searching by guest.
No, look by city.
Oh.
Okay.
The list is shorter.
Oh, no.
Why
would they go to those places and not Chicago?
Oh, but Winter Soldier's coming here. Bucky's coming.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Why are you disappointed?
Captain America's in Philly.
Oh, let's go to Philly.
Okay.
All right, then.
The station will pay for it.
Esmeralda, right, anybody jump out at you?
Yeah, Norman Reedus.
Yeah.
Who's Norman Reedus?
Walking Dead. He's been here before, too,
Boondock
at the station.
Saints.
Okay.
We gave him a cake last time.
Is Jeffrey?
What? I think, didn't we?
The leg. Did you not see that leg?
No.
Oh, it was a great cake. It was well, and that was kind of the moment. So here's the thing, Craig.
Yeah.
And this is what Steve and I have talked about.
Okay.
When we get Bruce Campbell this time, again, one, I'm sleeping downtown because Esmeralda, last year, we were scheduled to have him at 11 a.m.
This did happen.
Which, okay, that's still early for me because I usually go to bed anywhere between 3 and 7 a.m. Mm. But I went right to bed and I got up and I was getting ready and I got a text saying Bruce Campbell was early. He was at the station at 10 a.m.
He was here.
He was already here. I was still at home.
It's one of those things where you get told that you're late for something and you can't go anywhere.
There's nothing I can do. Bruce Campbell generously waited to have, somehow I made it down here with my whole family because
I almost killed a person.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, we did.
I sped.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say, I mean, if you're going to show up an hour early, you can't really be like, well, where are you?
That's
like, well, because we got an hour later.
Yes, but the next thing that happened, he was in our green room down here. So the person that was handling a lot of the celebrities that were coming, I wish that they had been able to have him in the green room upstairs, which the studio we were using to record the interview, right? Because it was in the morning. So he was in our green room here, and guest after other guests.
Yeah, started going on the air.
Live in the showcase studio. And then the guest from The Walking Dead, they wheeled in a cake for
him. Yeah, he saw that happen.
Yeah, so this is Bruce Campbell, who basically has his own wing at the Wizard World. He has a movie festival with his name on it, is waiting in the green room, not going to be live, doesn't get a cake. We're kind of late, even though we were actually a half hour early, which is fine. So all of that happened. So we got to do it up big if we get Bruce Campbell. We have to start now convincing him that we are worthy of his. And I got the station wrong for what his show is going to be Ash versus the Evil.
So great, yeah.
I said stars instead of
that's
Encore.
Okay. I mean,
get him a Necronomicon cake.
Well, no, we have a cake friend of the show. Yes. We can have a cake created. We have a costume friend of the show, so maybe we can show up in like Bruce Campbell costumes.
Do you remember what he was wearing?
Yes, I do.
He was wearing a lavender suit with white shoes. Amazing. It was spectacular.
I believe it. It's Bruce Campbell.
And I couldn't pet him. He wouldn't let me take. He was feisty. Let's put it that way. He was a little surly by the time we got him. But I mean, he did a great interview. It was wonderful to talk to him. I loved him. But I wish we had done it upright.
Right.
And we have Hopefully we have the opportunity again.
Yeah.
To have him back.
We'll do it right.
I'm
also
Bruce
surprised
Campbell.
You don't want to have Jesse on.
I do want Milo.
Okay, you do? Yes. Milo Ventimiglia?
That one. That's why I didn't bother.
That's his name? Uh-huh.
Not that I didn't want to bother, but I'm pretty sure I can't say it.
Yeah, no, neither can I. But he's the best. Toward the end, after he came back to the show, he was the best.
But she still doesn't belong with him on Gilmore Girls.
Really?
Rory,
even when he's nicer and he owns like that bookstore and stuff?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, I think. Well, I'm curious to see where she's gone. Netflix has the
Me
series.
Too.
They're shooting it. Oh, I forgot to call Gypsy. We've got to call Rose Abdu. Maybe she's our midnight wake up call.
Ooh, I like that idea.
Our pretty late wake up call.
Just calling people at random.
Yeah, I don't know if I actually have her number. I have her husband's number.
I think I have her number. Didn't we call her?
Yeah,
we did
call her one time.
Yeah, I have her number.
Okay, here are your choices, Esmeralda. Possibly Gypsy from Gilmore Girls. Mm-hmm. Or Mark Valley from Boston Legal.
And but one reason that we would call Mark Valley is that was the first person that Patty pet a face of, that he invented the
Celebrity Petting Zoo,
which is a thing we did for a while.
Which was broken by John Lovitz.
Yeah, and then John Lovitz ruined all that.
He made that so awkward. I mean, he was right to say no if he didn't want to do it, but then I had to stay in the green room with him. I didn't want to leave and be like, well, if he said no, I'm going to go. But then we awkwardly sat there for a while, not really knowing what to say to each other.
Super awkward.
I asked John Lovitz
if I could pet him. You can't back that off.
No.
After you ask someone to pet them, you can't really save that. When they say no.
You just be like, just joking. Yeah. I don't want to touch you.
Who pets people? That's crazy.
That was the thing, is nobody had said no yet. So I didn't really know how to recover from a no.
Mm-hmm. I'm amazed that no one had said no yet.
There's no way to recover from a no.
People are very, people like their space.
Gilbert Gottfried let me pet him.
He did.
Shannon Elizabeth not only let me pet her, she actually did a fun little video where she tackled me afterwards.
Hello.
I know.
There you go.
We don't have all that footage. It's hard to do a selfie that way. More after this on 720 WGN, but I'll practice. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Craig Collins, Esmeralda Leon. Oops, excuse me. It's my
laptop. Did you get a quick phone call?
No, it's my laptop. I was trying to pull up this video that we're going to talk about.
Well, it's better music than something else.
Nice.
Yeah. Yes. What's in my search history? I saw this video today of a United Airlines flight attendant who decided the plane pulls up to the jetway, Esmeralda. She opens the emergency door, the emergency ramp unfolds, inflates, and she just throws her purse down the slide and then slides off and just walks away from the plane.
Did she pull a thing like that one guy who said, I quit, and then he jumps out the thing?
I guess so. Shortly after the flight 1246 landed at Bush International Airport from Sacramento, this is in Houston then, she opened the emergency door, deployed the evacuation chute, threw her purse, just walked away. We haven't found any explanation yet. United Airlines has not made a comment on this, probably causing the airlines thousands of dollars. But you have to figure, it's like that guy years ago, wasn't that in New York? He just was like, screw this, I'm getting off this plane now, and just...
That was the best exit, though.
Have you ever walked out on a job like that? Just been so fed up? Just try to find the most dramatic way to walk out?
No, I just push it down, deep down, until I get a stomach ache, and then I quit.
And then just... We mentioned this during the news earlier, Craig. I've ghosted several jobs.
I only half did that once. I gave somebody 2 weeks, and then I started calling off a whole bunch, and then they're just like, you know what? You're probably done.
You're done. You're done here.
Yeah. I did do that, but it was all automated, so I kind of didn't feel bad. Like, you would have to call in to be like, hello, so-and-so won't be here today. So I just kept doing that, and then I just stopped showing up.
I've walked out in the middle of a shift when I was waiting tables, and I walked out in the middle of my training day at Farmore. There were some jobs I just stopped showing up. But 312-981-7200. Have you ever left a job in a dramatic fashion? Just, hopefully not in a way where you started a crime, like set a fire or something like that, but just, maybe a big speech you gave, told them why they could just shove it? I think I just basically, I'm more of a not going to show up again.
Yeah, I would love to do that, though. I mean, that's a great story.
Well, you'd have to have a bad job in order
right.
to, but you love
that's
your job.
That's the problem. Yeah, no, I'm good right now.
Yeah, this flight attendant, apparently, I wonder what happened during the flight where she just was pushed over the edge.
Well, I could understand.
Yeah, passengers.
Ugh.
Some of the horror stories. There's like a blog of some of the worst stuff that passengers do that just drives.
I don't understand how people yeah. don't stand up to them and be like, hey.
Stop
put
doing
your shoes
that.
Back on.
To other passengers?
Yeah.
I know.
Is that bad to take your shoes off?
Well, because one, I don't think when you take your shoes off, you don't realize your feet stink.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they probably do.
I try to travel in as
just rule of thumb that they stink? I mean,
well,
they might be clean.
Yeah, but you never know.
Okay.
And what if they do smell and you don't smell it? No one's going
to
tell
you. Right, because I'm all accustomed to my smells.
But the thing is, so many people fly in flip-flops now. So it doesn't even matter.
But I don't think your feet smell because of those.
Well, it's the shoes then that probably smell.
Right.
More than have been in the stinky shoes.
Exactly.
Mm. Well,
keep your shoes on.
Well, not right now.
Bring slippers.
Depends on where you are right now. You can take your shoes off right now. But if you're flying, we prefer you keep them on. More after this on 720 WGN. Craig's going night clubbing. I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you know, a little bit.
A little bit of that. A little of that music. I have mostly ghosted on jobs. I've never walked out under a mat. Although I did flood on accident. I did flood a Bennigan's one time. I was leaning against the ice machine and I heard a ka-chunk, ka-chunk. And then hours later, the ice had completely melted. It turns out I had turned off the ice machine by leaning on it. You know why? Yeah, time to lean. You got time to clean. I probably should have been cleaning. Mark, how have you left a job? How have you ever walked off a job? Mark?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Years ago, you used to pull into a gas station and they would pump the gas for you.
Right.
It was in the middle of winter. It was one of the coldest days and the manager wouldn't come out and help me. And all I wanted was a 15-minute break so I could warm up.
Right.
And he said no. So I took the wad of money, threw it in the air and said I quit and walked out. Gas station full of customers, and that was that.
Oh, that's great. I kind of love that. You just took all the money in the register and just threw it up in the air.
You used to have it on you because you were outside giving change.
Like in a belt. Oh, I remember those.
Right.
Yes.
So I took the whole lot, threw it up in the air, and walked out the door.
Mark, let me ask you this. How long before you stopped hearing that ding from the tires going over the trigger for the bell?
Years.
Yeah.
I used to have nightmares.
I can imagine.
Yeah. No, and also when you're filling up your own gas and someone pulls in, do you reflectively like try to go get their gas for them real quick?
You automatically go try to clean their windows for that, you know?
Mark, that's fantastic. What do you do now?
Oh, I drive a truck.
Oh, that's great.
I've been doing it for 30 years. So.
How do you, a little bit better than the gas stations?
Oh, a lot better.
You heard, did you hear us talking about Smokey the Bandit last night?
Oh, yeah. I almost coughed.
Well, when we had that conversation, just in the off chance that you're not able to hear us, if you were to, would you remake that movie, first of all? Do you think that's a movie that should be remade?
Yeah, I would.
And who would
I
you cast?
Would.
Who would you cast as Burt Reynolds and Sally Field and Jackie Gleason?
Now?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Don't you care?
I don't know.
I know this is probably Nick D's head will probably, or maybe he likes it. I think maybe a Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, there you go.
I think that would be a lot of fun.
Who would play Jackie Gleason?
Oh, that's a really good question. I know. Hold on. Let me rack my brains. I don't know. I mean, because you could change it up completely. You could have like a crazed Chris Rock like chasing him, right?
Yeah.
You could have somebody like that.
Who would be the girl then?
Rachel McAdams.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Right. There's my.
That'd be real good.
Don't you think she'd be adorable?
She's kind of great in everything.
Yeah. She's kind of great in everything.
Yeah.
There's at least those two. Now, as far as the Jackie Gleason role, I have to think about that for a minute. I'm not sure. You know, maybe Jim Gaffigan. I don't know if he's going to be that broad, that big. Do you think he'd be that big on that?
I don't know.
Now everybody's
Mark,
confused.
Mark is not convinced.
I love your show, Patty.
Mark, I appreciate it. Can you hold on the line? Craig's got a Lou Malnati's gift card for you.
Oh, thank you.
My pleasure. Be safe on the roads, okay?
Okay.
All right. We'll talk to you again soon. Yeah, I don't know. It's funny. Even as a comedian, it's hard for me to think of who I, because Jackie Gleason is so iconic. You almost don't want to try to mimic that, right? You want to sort of switch that up. So, you know, I'd have to think of somebody who is, first of all, beloved and has the range. Esmeralda, if you could think of like a Southern cop, a comedic actor who is bigger than life, would be fun in a car chase. These are your elements. Because I'm going to... Have you seen Smokey and the Bandit?
I haven't.
That's what I thought. That's your assignment, by the way. That's your homework. Oh, at some boy. Point, you have to watch the movie.
Yes. Well, I'm in the process right now. I was watching it before I came here. Point
Break.
Were you really?
Point Break you were watching?
Yes.
Oh.
I haven't seen it.
The original or the new one?
The original.
Oh.
The original.
The producers that I'm working with for both my sitcom and a couple of other projects, they're the original producers of Point Break.
Nice.
They also did like Wedding Crashers. So that, yeah, that movie
is awesome.
How do you like it so far?
I like it. Yeah. Trying to think just.
It's sort of, you really have to suspend disbelief. For
yeah,
that one.
I'm at the point where the tables have turned
mm-hmm.
at that point.
Where he's kind of crossed over and is buying into the whole
Well,
culture
no, where
of it.
They're, no, where they've.
Oh, they figured it out.
Yeah.
Patrick Swayze knows.
So I was just incredulous when they were all just hanging out and like, yeah, let's get you out of this plane.
Oh, why
would
you do
that? I was like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Like, I was freaking out.
Do you like Lori Petty as a romantic interest in that movie?
She's fine. She seems a bit of a throwaway character, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think they could have done... She, by the way, do you watch Orange is the New Black? Because
I do.
Yeah, so she was in season two, the season opener of
yeah.
season two.
Yeah, no, and I loved her in Tank Girl and stuff, but she has this, I'm a small person. She's small, and mm-hmm. she's that very girl voice.
But tough.
But she is tough, yeah. But I can't not think of her as kind of silly.
Yeah, that voice.
She always has that like silliness to her, because even in Orange is the New Black, she's always throwing out funny quips and things and
exactly yeah
being a smart aleck.
Well, that's the beauty of Orange is the New Black. One of the other inmates says, I hate your little girl voice, your daddy come do bad things to me voice is yeah. basically how it's described.
Although I do like that she's different.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
She's not a
oh yeah
in Point Break, she's not the buxom babe,
and I think
type.
That's why she was cast. That's
yeah,
we were
so
talking about
good.
That. Yeah, the director apparently didn't like her very much, but here you go. Chris has an idea for the Jackie Gleason role in Smokey and the Bandit. Chris, what do you think?
Hey, Patty, how are you?
I'm very good. I'm very well. How are you?
I'm better. I haven't called you for a little while. I had surgery, so.
Oh. You doing all right?
Yeah.
Good to hear.
Amazingly well. Amazingly
I'm glad
well.
To hear that, Chris. Wonderful.
Jackie Gleason would be Billy Gardell.
Oh, I really love that. You know, he's playing a role in the Million Dollar Quartet. He's playing Elvis Presley's manager in the.
Really?
Yes. So you are.
Wow.
That's really good. I don't want to make Rob mad because I really love your idea. Hold on the line. Now we're going to give away something for the best one. We're going to vote on this because we've got a couple of calls on the line. Hold on 1 second, Chris. Craig, I don't remember how to put people on hold anymore. Oh, I did it. Yay, success. Rob, what's your casting idea for Jackie Gleason and Smokey and the Bandit? Hey, Rob?
Yeah. Hey,
yeah.
How you doing?
I'm well. How are you doing?
John Goodman.
Also good. Ooh, this is going to be tough. I like that a lot. Do you watch the show Alpha House on Amazon?
I do.
Oh, isn't that a great show?
He is fantastic in everything. You know, he always shines above.
I think
he made Roseanne's show one level higher.
Oh, I agree. I think that she stepped up because he was such an excellent character on that show, an actor.
Yeah.
I agree. That's fantastic. I love that. All right. Hold on 1 second. All right. Oop. Did I do that? I see. I forgot again, Craig. There we go. Matthew, what's your casting idea for... Wow, this is amazing. This is lighting up the phone lines. If you want to know how to light up the phone lines, apparently ask this question. Where did Rob go? I might have picked him. Matthew, what do you think for casting in Smokey and the Bandit?
You know, that's funny he brought up Goodman because he really made that Blues Brothers 2000 into at least something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
But you know, I have to say... With a, you know, a ridiculous question, you know, remaking.
An iconic movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to say Chris Farley, if he was alive,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't he have been the greatest sheriff?
He would have been very good. I think he would have been a little bit loony, and he would have added a different element. Because if you're going to go with kind of that bigger guy, I think people would have loved that.
Well, Japers wasn't Gleason a little loony.
Yeah, he was loony. But how great was he at that Southern accent after, you know, just kind of this, it was a surprising, I think, interpretation and portrayal. I love Jackie Gleason in Smokey and the Bandit.
God, I was a young teen when I saw that. You must have been really young.
I was really little because my parents took me to those kinds of movies. Hold on one second, Matthew. Let me see what other ideas we have on hold. We have Paul. Paul, what's your casting? Oh, hold on. Let me do this. Paul, what's your casting idea?
I would say Kevin James. I mean, he's just so close Jackie Gleason.
Oh, see, I love all these ideas. Yeah, Kevin James. I like where we're going with all these. Craig, how many prizes do we have? Can you please pull up our prize list?
Have just a couple prizes. Let's not give them all away.
I know. You know what? I should call Zanies and see if I can give away some zickets.
Some zickets. That would be cool.
Oh, I know. That's what I should do. Hold on one second, Paul, because I really love that idea, too. All right, we'll vote. That's what we'll do. We'll go around the horn and we'll vote. Harold, who do you think for recasting Smokey and the Bandit?
Well, I always hate when they take and make the same movie twice. You know,
I agree.
You gotta somebody with a different flavor. And thinking of that, not trying to be Gleason, I'm just thinking, okay, Bobcat Goldthwait.
I like that too. That's a really good one. All right, I have to write. You know what? I don't think I did a good job of writing all these down. So Bobcat, did you hear Bobcat on Bill and Wendy's show last week?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Oh, he's so great, and he's brilliant. If you get a chance, listen to some of his stand up comedy. I know a lot of it's available, like on YouTube and like iHeart and things like that. He's so funny, just brilliant. All right, I like that one. Okay, so Paul has. Let me make sure I have all these right. Paul has Bobcat, and Matthew had. Help me out, Kevin James. No, who had Kevin James? Matthew had Kevin James.
Wait, so Harold had Bobcat, right? Harold just gave us Bobcat.
Oh, okay. So Bob. Okay, hold on. Everyone, hold on a second. I have to go. I didn't write any of these down.
Guys, wait one second.
I was so surprised at how great these were. Yeah. Let's go first.
We had a John Goodman.
That wasn't first though. Chris's idea was Billy Gardell.
Billy Gardell,
which I love.
Thank you.
They're online. Like, where they're all on hold. Like, I just
they
ask
know
them.
Their answer. Yeah, we
I can just repeat their yeah. Matthew. No, Matthew had
John Goodman.
Did he?
Or no.
Who hung up? Rob hung up.
I don't know. Farley. Somebody had Farley, too, didn't they?
Yeah, this is really a mess.
Yeah. Let's just decide what guy we like, and then I'll ask them all who it was.
Who it was.
Yeah.
All right. So
and don't lie to us, Chris, Matthew, Paul, and Harold. No. We sort of know.
All right. Harold was last, and he had Bobcat.
Yeah.
This is great. We have all the...
This is my favorite radio segment we've done now. What did you just say to us on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez?
I don't know.
We don't know. Billy. We're not really sure.
Because every great idea, shove the last great idea out of
You know what? We can take a break, and I'll bump back with their audio saying
I think that Matthew said, I'm going to go ahead and say that Matthew said Chris Farley.
Okay. I like that idea.
All right. And then I'm going to say that Paul said Kevin James.
Yeah, I think he did.
And the guy who said John Goodman hung up.
Yeah. Candace also called in and said John Goodman. So if Candace wants to call back, we'll give her credit
for
it.
All right. So let's vote right now, though, because we have all the names in front of us.
That's true.
All right. And here's the thing. We have to include even the one that hung up.
That's true.
All right. Then.
Okay.
All right. Esmeralda, for a comedic role of a sheriff in a cross-country car chase, would you go with John Goodman, Billy Gardell, Chris Farley, even though he's deceased, Kevin James, or Bobcat?
I want to go John Goodman.
John Goodman.
That's an interesting answer.
It's very interesting. Yeah. I'm going to go Billy Gardell.
Okay.
All right.
Well, then I don't think we're going to have a winner. I'm confused, though, because Chris Farley, to me, is the pick, but he's not alive anymore. I didn't know we could pick, anyone.
Yes.
So if we have to make an actual movie, I'm going to go Billy Gardell. But if I picked anybody, I also would pick Farley.
So tell Matthew he has the sympathetic vote.
We think
it was you said Chris Farley, but I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure Chris said Billy Gardell. So yeah. Chris has a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's. Congratulations, Chris.
Yay.
I'm pretty sure that's all correct. Thank you to all of our listeners who called in more after this on 720 WGN. Yeah. I want to thank again all of our listeners who called in with a recasting idea for Smokey and the Bandit. I can't even remember the name of the movie anymore. I'm not a game show host, Esmeralda. Smokey and the Bandit. I really am enjoying watching that movie. I'm kind of watching it in bits and pieces. Also, Esmeralda, I have a bit of an addiction that I explained to Craig off the air. I was gifted with a piece of gear. Some technology from Verizon. I have something called an Oculus. It's
an Oculus Rift. It is
virtual reality.
Amazing, apparently.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
And you can watch Netflix movies and television series on this.
Is it goggles?
It's like this headpiece, and you look ridiculous, but it's not meant for you. It's not meant for anyone to see you.
Yeah, you're not supposed to be moving once you put it on.
No, right. Don't do that. So I've been watching Netflix. You can download it onto your phone. So basically you clip your phone into the egg. It's kind of like goggles, and mm-hmm. then it amplifies it. And the visuals are amazing.
Is it 3D?
Yes.
Or is it just super clear? And
well, the television, like the movie is single. It's not like 3D, what I'm watching. I've been watching Orange is the New Black.
But you're in a 3D world.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I live in a home. I live in a very small space. I would say the four of us, my two sons and Steve and I, we all live in a space. It's probably about 700 square feet. We have two bedrooms, a bathroom, a dining room, and a living room, and a kitchen. But it's all like on top. We're all on top of each other. It's all single floor. We are on the top floor of a two apartment, like a two flat. And we're also not the most organized people. The kids, you know, they have a lot of toys. We got a lot of papers. There's not a lot, enough space for all four of us. And so I put on this headgear for the 3D, virtual reality experience, and I download the Netflix. And, you know, so it starts rolling. You kind of see this little circle going because it's loading the app. And all of a sudden you're on a red leather couch. Like I look down and I can see this great carpeting. It's kind of got like waves on it. And I look up and basically like a fireplace, but a massive fireplace. And instead of a fire, you have this huge screen for Netflix. But you look left and right and you are in a ski lodge. And out the one window to your left, you can see the mountains. You can see the slopes, the snow capped. It's kind of nighttime, but they're lit up with, you know, and you can, there's like a balcony, and you have the urge to get up and walk over there, but you can't move because you will then fall and hurt yourself. And there's actually a coffee table in front of you with a hot cocoa on a plate. And you really feel like you could reach for it. There's a remote control next to you, even though you have everything you need. To my right, there's a lofted bedroom. There's a chandelier above you. Let's just say that it's 10 times the size of the space that I live in. It's very hard for me to leave, Esmeralda.
I mean, that sounds pretty cool.
Oh, it's amazing. It's so cool.
You know what, just hang out in the room?
Yeah, I just hang. I just sit there.
And not watch anything? You're just like, oh, yeah, fireplace.
Yeah, I do. I put my feet up because there's a coffee table and I was sitting on part of my couch. I have one of those L-shaped couches and I was sitting on my couch and there's a coffee table and I went to lay back and put my feet up and realized I don't actually have a coffee table in front of me. So I had to scooch down to the end of my couch where I have like the chaise part of it and I put my feet up and I feel like I'm in the ski lodge.
Wow.
I put a blanket on me because, you know, I can see the snow-capped mountains off to my left. And when you start watching something, the walls kind of flicker with the shadows from the screen. Like you can see off to your right that the light is bouncing off of your back wall. It's ridiculous.
It's frightening a little bit.
It's really cool.
Just a little bit.
Well, saying Craig, like Sunday night, I spent 3 hours in there.
That's amazing.
Well, okay. And we're going to talk to the people from Verizon. One of the problems I'm having is eating and drinking while watching something because you can't see anything outside of the goggles. You actually don't have that hot chocolate on the coffee table. So I have to have, like, if I have a glass, I have to put it between my knees because I can't reach for anything. I can't have it, like, off to my side.
What if you just get a very long straw?
That's a funny thing, too. So I had a glass of wine, which I can't drink because it hits the goggles.
Ooh.
So
get
I can't,
one of those hats.
Exactly. Like, I need, like, I don't want to drink wine through a straw. So I had to switch to...
Just get one of those hats. It's fine to drink wine out of a straw.
I switched to not your father's root beer in a glass with a straw was what I...
You know, the wine...
That makes sense.
Wine through the straw probably aerates it, makes it better.
That seems like
we're running out of time. Do we want to make our...
Yeah, could you call Mark DiCarlo? Yeah, cool. Let's call Mark DiCarlo for our weekend... our pretty late wake-up call. We'll call Mark Valley tomorrow because we've got a little bit of time, but I want to talk to our very own Mark DiCarlo. And I'm going to be staying at his place coming up in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to Los Angeles at the end of April.
Nice.
Hopefully I'll be going to, I might, Craig, I think I have to go to Springfield next week. I know that there are, hello? Hello?
Hello,
Mark DiCarlo. How are you doing?
Wow, that didn't even ring.
It didn't even ring. It's like he was waiting for us to call him.
So quick there.
Yeah, that was too fast, Mark. Could you hang up and let us get
I just left. I was at the Cubs game and I'm on a train going home.
What?
Wow.
Wait a minute. This is the best call ever.
You're in Chicago?
No, he's in California.
Okay.
He went
California,
to go.
They played the Angels.
They played the Angels.
Oh, duh. Okay. Yeah. I don't even. I'm not paying attention.
He doesn't. You're a Yankees fan. Could you turn your
we
microphone
lost.
Off?
We lost today. It was really sad.
Hi, Mark. We're doing a new segment called the Pretty Late Wake Up Call, but we knew that you might still be up because it's not even midnight where you are.
You're right.
So we're just wrapping up our show, but you have better news for us. How great was the game tonight?
The game was fantastic. The Cubs looked great. Defense was good. Hitting for power. We were surrounded by other Cub fans along the third base line. And the people that were unfortunate enough to be Anaheim fans were not obnoxious.
Oh, there you go.
Completely the opposite of going to Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, no, it's got to be a great experience. Do you know when the last time was that the Cubs went 2-0 at the beginning of their, obviously at the beginning of their season. Do you know the last time was they were 2-0?
I think it was 1995.
Wow. Did Mark Carmen call DiCarlo with all this information? Yes, but do you know when the last time was that the Cubs and the White Sox went 2-0 at the same time?
Yeah, let's see this.
1964.
Wow, so close. 50. It was 54, I think.
Mm-hmm, something like that.
Oh,
in the mid-50s.
That's what I meant. I forgot to carry the one.
Are you going home to watch the Blackhawks game, too?
I think I am.
I'm not going to tell you.
You know what? I'm living the dream, Patty.
You really are. Do you want to know the score of the Blackhawks game, do you?
No, I don't.
Okay, I won't say anything. Don't tell him, Craig. Do not tell him the score of the Blackhawks game. No matter how much you want to, do not tell him the score of the Blackhawks game. I'm trying to be very neutral. Hey, Mark, I have a question.
That.
Here's another question for you.
Yes.
If they were to remake Smokey and the Bandit,
uh-huh.
Who would you cast in the Jackie Gleason role?
Oh, that's a good question.
Right? So far, here are some of the suggestions we've had. John Goodman.
Yeah.
Kevin James.
Yeah.
Billy Gardell.
Yeah.
Chris Farley, even though we know that that's not possible.
Right.
Mark DiCarlo.
Ooh, I like that one. And Bobcat.
Yeah, I'm not sure which one you want to pick, though.
Bobcat is actually a really funny idea.
Isn't that great? Do you have any others you would throw into the mix?
I was going to say Carol Channing.
I don't think she's... See, Mark went the same way I did. If you're going to replace an iconic character, you better go completely the other way. But I believe she's...
Go completely.
Yeah, I was thinking...
I think you were going too fast.
I was thinking maybe Chris Rock.
Oh, Chris Rock in the South? That would be fantastic.
Don't you think that'd be a good way to go? A little bit different?
Yes, that's a great idea, Pat.
If he were still alive,
yeah,
I would do...
Show.
If we're going to do Not Alive anymore, Bernie Mac would have been great.
Well, let's have Jesus do it.
Well, there you go.
If we're bringing people back, he's already back.
Ta-da! That's what he should have said was, ta-da! Mark, I'm very excited. What'd you miss? Let's see, what did we do tonight? We were talking.
I'm hanging on the Jesus idea. That's such a good idea. Recast the movie with Jesus.
Well, because you shouldn't do it. What else did he miss? He missed,
We talked to John Tatey tonight.
Hey, Mark, we talked to John Tatey. Have you ever been to an event where an ex was there and she's moved on to better, greener pastures? Even I know that you're with the most amazing woman in the world.
And wait, but by the way, the breakup would also be very much you not wanting it to end, but maybe being nice and letting it end without a fight.
And could you be at a wedding with that other person, knowing they're going to be there with someone new?
Oh, sure, yeah. Uh-huh.
All right, so you're telling
Usually
Mark Carmen.
My breakups were very... I mean, one time a girl ran over my moped with a Jeep. Mm. I told you about the one in Hawaii.
Yes, you did.
That's my
Can
favorite.
The rest of us know about that one? Yeah.
I don't know if you want to share that with the rest of everybody.
It sounds like really story.
Good. Well, that was kind of on you, Mark. I mean, you have
At least you were in Hawaii, though, right?
That was his point, apparently.
Right.
Yes, that was his thinking. At least we're in Hawaii.
Right. And, I was being honest. But... That's probably the best one.
Yeah, I think you want to wait till you're back and unpacked and then be like,
Oh, my God, we only have 15 seconds left, but I want to hear this story.
Next time.
Tune in next week.
Yes.
We'll do the Vasquez up pretty late.
Yeah, we're going to do the wake-up call with Mark next week. All right, have a great night, Mark. I'm glad that the Cubs won, and enjoy watching the Blackhawks game. We're not saying anything else.
I will, guys. Go
all right.
Cubs.
Go Cubs. Go Hawks. Do we have any break before we – oh, Vic Vaughn, it's good to see you. I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to talk because
hey,
DiCarlo took all the time we could say hello to you with.
He's enjoying the good stories, the breakup stories.
Yeah, he seriously
ran over his moped.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you want to break somebody, you break their stuff. That's all there is to it.